Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry. Tonight.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to, much business to tend to, and we're going to do it today. We're going to do it. Much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. Oh, my goodness. Cynthia McKinney, in an act of courage. What's that? What do you have to have? Courage. In an act of courage, she filed a bill to impeach George W. Bush. Nobody else was going to do it. All these Democrats out here talking about, it's not on the list, it's not on the table, it's not on the table. She filed a piece of legislation on her way out to impeach boy, George. And I'm going to read you her statement, and I just want you to think of one word. Courage. I'll be back. Stay with me. And the heat is on. The third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is this Friday. You can drop your blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. The heat is on. The blanket drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
For a look at the world news that matters most to you, tune in to AM 920 WGNU's Global News Updates, weekday mornings 7:45, 8:45, and 9:45, weekday evenings at 6:45. Sponsored by Reasonable Construction, 314-382-2200.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio, to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
Around the world, and behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want a toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. Cynthia McKinney, you know her. She has been forever on the front line of truth. She has made it clear that we need to question George Bush. We need to question. We need to raise a question. And for that, she lost her job. She came back again. And I'm reading this article out of the AP and their description of who Cynthia McKinney is. And one of the things they say is that she hosted numerous panels on September 11th conspiracy theory. Let me read you her statement, because it is an honorable, courageous thing. And before I do that, I just want to read you two more lines from this AP article. The legislation has no chance of passing and serves as a symbolic parting shot, not only at Bush, but at Democratic leaders. Nancy Pelosi has warned the liberal wing of her party against making political hay of impeachment. Well, that would make Nancy Pelosi a fool, wouldn't it? Let me read you Cynthia McKinney. She is the first congressperson to introduce articles of impeachment against Boy George, as well as I shoot my friends in the face, Dick Cheney. And I'd rather buy shoes than be Katrina, Condoleezza Rice. I'd rather go shopping. Mr. Speaker, I come before this body today as a proud American and as a servant of the American people, sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States. Throughout my tenure, I have always tried to speak the truth, and it is that commitment that brings me here today. We have a president who has misgoverned and a Congress that has refused to hold him accountable. It is a grave situation, and I believe that the stakes for our country are high. No American is above the law. And if we allow a president to violate, at the most basic and fundamental level, the trust of the people, and then continue to govern without a process for holding him accountable, what does that say about our commitment to the truth? Our commitment to the Constitution, to our democracy. The trust of the American people has been broken, and a process must be undertaken to repair this trust. And this process must begin with honesty and accountability. Cynthia McKinney said to the United States Congress on her way out, she continued with her speech by saying, "Leading up to our invasion of Iraq, the American people supported this administration's actions because they believed in our president. They believed he was acting in good faith. They believed that American laws and American values would be respected, that in the weightiness of everything being considered, two values were rock solid, trust and truth. From the mushroom clouds to African yellow cake to aluminum tubes, the American people and this Congress were not presented the facts, but were presented a string of untruths to justify the invasion of Iraq. President Bush, along with Vice President Cheney and then National Security Advisor Rice, portrayed to this Congress and to the American people that Iraq represented an imminent threat, culminating with Bush's claim that Iraq was 6 months away from developing a nuclear weapon." "Having used false fear to buy consent, this president then took our country to war. This has grave consequences for the health of our country, our democracy, for our standing with our allies, and most of all, for the lives of men and women in the military and their families, who have been asked to make sacrifices, including the ultimate sacrifice, to keep us safe. Just as we expect our leaders to be truthful, we expect them to abide by the law and respect our courts and our judges. Here again, President George W. Bush failed the American people. When President Bush signed an executive order authorizing unlawful spying on American citizens, he circumvented the courts, the law, and he violated the separation of powers provided by the Constitution. Once the program was revealed, he then tried to hide the scope of his offense from the American people by making contradictory and untrue statements. President George W. Bush has failed to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. He has failed to ensure that senior members of his administration do the same, and he has betrayed the trust of the American people. Cynthia McKinney continues by saying, with a heavy heart and in the deepest spirit of patriotism, I exercise my duty and responsibility to speak truthfully about what is before us. To shy away from this responsibility would be easier. But I have not been one to travel the easy road. I believe in this country and in the power of democracy. I feel the steely conviction of one who will not let the country I love descend into shame. For the fabric, the very fabric of our democracy is at stake. Now, some will call this a partisan vendetta. Others will say this is an unimportant distraction to the plans of the incoming Congress. But this is not about political gamesmanship. I am not willing to put any political party before my principles. This, instead, is about the beginning of the long road back to regaining the high standards of truth and democracy upon which our great country was founded. Cynthia McKinney ends with this, Mr. Speaker, under the standards set by the United States Constitution, President George W. Bush, along with Vice President Cheney and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, should be subject to the process of impeachment, and I have filed House Resolution 1106 in the House of Representatives. To my fellow Americans, as I leave this Congress, it is in your hands to hold your representative accountable and to show those with the courage to stand up for what is right that they do not stand alone. Cynthia McKinney, one word, courage. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back after this. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Open but from American Express. Eastbound 70 from K through 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and 270, you can expect some congestion going on there. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and 270, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through Marshall Road, expect delays. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley is moving well. Westbound 270 from 367 to 170, no problems to report. Westbound 5570 between 64 into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic going on there as well. Illinois Route 3 northbound from onto that ramp into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect no delays at this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank into Laclede's Landing, look for heavy volume going on there. And northbound 14th at Spruce, look for an accident reported. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Open from American Express. Open, how American Express serves small businesses. To learn more, visit open.com or call 1-800-NOW-OPEN. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Rain likely today, high in the lower 50s this evening. Rain likely, even a chance of thunderstorms. Near steady temps in the upper 40s. For Tuesday, cloudy, a 40% chance of rain and drizzle with a high around 50 again. Tuesday evening, mostly cloudy, colder in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy overnight with a low in the upper 30s. Then on Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high around 50. Currently, we have cloudy skies, some drizzle and 44 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting clouds and 45. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Congresswoman Maxine Waters. No matter where I am in the world, I can always get the information I need from the Wake Up Call with my friend Liz Brown.
Nothing can be truer than the phrase, all politics is local. That's why Liz Brown is adding the Automatic Watch to the award-winning Wake Up Calls lineup. Every Monday at 7 a.m., Liz will be joined by Alderman Lewis Reed to discuss the comings and goings of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Do you want to know the latest bill passed? Do you want to know why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks Aldermanic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal, and you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Automatic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Make your holiday exciting by celebrating Christmas New Orleans style.
Come for the food.
Come for the art.
Come for the history.
Come for the sweet sounds of jazz.
Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan a December getaway filled with Revillon feasts, free concerts, French Quarter shopping, and all the excitement of Harrah's Casino. And make it last with discounted hotel rates, courtesy of Papa Noel himself. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today to get your free guide with more than $2,400 in coupons and jazz up your December New Orleans style.
Come for the fun.
Come feel good.
Come for the beauty. Come for the
spirit, heart, and soul.
Come for it all.
Come fall in love with New Orleans all over again.
Discover Christmas New Orleans style at NewOrleansOnline.com.
Hello, this is Liz Brown, and the heat is on. The third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is this Friday. You can drop your blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. The heat is on. The blanket drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carol being sung by a choir. And folks dressed up like Eskimo.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. My goodness gracious, we have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz.
Dimitri, good morning.
I'm going to change my first name either to Cynthia, like Cynthia McKinney, or Cynthia Sheehan, or Liz. I'm not quite sure. But I say gung-ho to Cynthia McKinney for what she has done.
It's an amazing thing. It is an amazing thing.
Oh, great, Scott. And those gutless male whores in Congress that won't stand up and speak for the American people. Finally, someone has the courage to say what needed to be said. And what I've always said, Liz, forgive my anger, that it takes a woman to show this male population how to run things and how to get things straightened out.
And I'm going to read something about Hillary Clinton, and we're going to have to, it takes us. I'm of the school it takes a woman, too, but not all women, because I'm going to share something about Hillary Clinton, too.
Well,
because
I'm not changing my name to Hillary.
There you go. There you go.
Okay, Liz, thank you, and keep up the good work.
Take care, Dimitri. Thank you.
You're welcome.
1-877-920-WGNU. There was a statement that was made by Cynthia McKinney. She did what others have not done. She did what others have run from. She did what others did not have the courage to do. She has filed the articles of impeachment. She has filed the articles of impeachment. The ball is in the rest of the Congress's court. What are you going to do? This is wrong. This isn't about winning. This isn't about having your way. This is about what is right and what your responsibility is as a elected official, courage of your convictions. Courage of your convictions. That's what this is about. Do you believe in truth? Do you believe in honor? Let me share this Arianna Huffington post with you. She's talking about Hillary Clinton. The title of this is Hillary is Too Vain to Be President. There are politicians with great instincts as leaders, writes Arianna Huffington, those who recognize not just the crisis directly in front of them, but those around the corner as well. And these leadership instincts come from the gut, not from a multitude of consultants, strategists, and pollsters. And then there are the politicians with great instincts as followers. Those who are the first to stick their fingers in the air and notice even the slightest shift in the wind of popular opinion. Hillary Clinton is in the latter category. She is the quintessential political weather vane. Isn't that a great image? She is. I just got to say that again. Quintessential political weather vane. Oh, man, I love that. I love that. On Iraq, she remains a captive of her and her consultants' belief that the country isn't ready for a female commander-in-chief who isn't a hawk. Unfortunately, she's misreading the Democrats who are fed up with the fence-straddling and... Democrats are fed up with fence-straddling and triangulation. That has become Clinton's brand. Smiling photo ops with Bill Frist, Newt getting rich, Rick Santorum, backing a bill, criminalizing, flag burning, coming out against violent video games, signing on to Bush's missile defense plan, shifting her language on abortion, refusing to level with Americans on Iraq. Such moves have worked in the 90s, but these are different times. Times of war and terrorist threat, times in which longing for strong, authentic leadership is paramount. As a result, Clinton's strategy for the presidency is threatening to become a cautionary tale about the perfect little girl who had a perfect little plan that went perfectly astray. After joining the Senate, Hillary Clinton, in the world's most exclusive club, she set out to do everything her head and her consultants told her was right. She sharpened her points of triangulation strategy, decorating her rhetoric in red friendly states. She was careful, oh so careful, and aimed to please, and never, ever, ever said anything that would get her in trouble. She quietly and methodically began building her campaign team, surrounding herself with a gaggle of advisors and consultants, raising millions of dollars and reaching out to power brokers in her home state. She even hired Netroots Pro to harness the energy of the internet and win over the blogosphere. And with the Democrats on the rise, Hillary Clinton's perfect little plan seemed to be working out perfectly. And then suddenly came a rumbling in the distance. A rumbling caused by Barack Obama. Indications are that before the year is out, he will officially be in the race. All at once, like, damn. A surge of enthusiasm and support for Obama is threatening to ruin all of Clinton's perfect plans. She thought she had the momentum, but it's Obama who has the wind at his back. And here is the line that I love. If there is a lesson for my daughters and for politically minded girls and women everywhere, it is that you might as well speak your mind and do what's in your heart, because you never know what unseen forces are headed your way. As the poet tells us, the best laid plan of mice and men and perfect presidential candidates often go awry. And man, oh man, are they ever going awry for Hillary Clinton. In the larger political scheme of things, winning hearts and wallets of Hollywood doesn't matter much. But capturing the support of Hollywood insiders should have been a gimme for Hillary. The town's movers and shakers have solidly backed both Bill Clinton White House runs and her Senate campaign. But now that's not even working out. David Geffen has already declared for Obama, and many other Hollywood power brokers who are not ready to go public yet are making it known that in private that they are in the ABH. What's the ABH club? Anyone but Hillary. And all because they don't trust her to stand up for what is right or even to know anymore what is right. Courage. Oh, there's a lesson. I mean, there are messages that are sent to people with courage. Oh, you lose your gig. Cynthia McKinney lost her gig. She's standing on her principles, though. Hillary Clinton has more money than Cynthia McKinney ever had, ever could have, ever will have in terms of raising money for political campaigns. But who has courage? Who has conviction? Who has honor? Courage. Cynthia got it. Hillary can't spell it. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me. The heat is on. The third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is this Friday. You can
can drop your blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. The heat is on. The blanket drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
The Contemporary Art Museum presents a brown bag gallery tour on Wednesday, December 13th from noon to 1. Bring your own lunch and join us for a tour of the current exhibition, lunch and discussion. Explore the work of Janaina Shape with curatorial assistant Andrea Green. Admission is free. Find out more by calling 314-535-4660. Something for you from Radio Free St. Louis.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson, inviting you to join me every Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people just like you who are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in the lives of others. You're invited to share your thoughts. You know people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. We're here to discuss what matters most to you.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. And don't forget, folks, the blanket drive is this Friday at Carver House. I'll be broadcasting live from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. 3035 Bell. That's Carver House. Please come and drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. You can drop them off. All you got to do is drive up to the door and drop them off. Someone will be standing there waiting for you to take the blankets from your loving hands and put them into the hands of someone who needs them, folks. You can drop them off here at the station. Don't even have to get up off out of your car. You can drop them off at Carver House. Don't even have to get out of your car. We will have someone there running out to your car and grabbing your blankets and taking them on so that you can get on to work in a timely fashion. It is this Friday. Go get your $5 blankets. You can get them from Kmart. You can get them from the dollar store. I know that there are people that are buying them up already. We have people out there buying the blankets. And we need your help, folks. We need your help. Come on down. If you didn't make it to the volunteer meeting, please feel free to come on down. We still need your volunteers. Come on down on Friday or Saturday. Saturday we will be handing the blankets out starting at 8 o'clock. We'll be meeting at Carver House.
Carver House. Meet us at 8 o'clock on Saturday to hand out the blankets. So come on down. On Friday, it's the blanket drive, the third annual blanket drive. Let's make it the biggest and the best thing that we've ever done, folks. Come on down to the blanket drive. 3035 Bell, that's Cardinal and Bell, and also here at the station, you can drop your blankets off at the station at 265 Union. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. In the next hour, of course, we have our new feature, Aldermatic Watch with Alderman Lewis Reed. That's right. You need to stay tuned for that to find out what's going on in your good board of aldermen. And also joining us on that is going to be Irene J. Smith as well. We're going to dissect what's going on at the Board of Aldermen, and Lewis Reed is going to bring that information to us. My number here again is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up, get to me. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you today?
I am outstanding. How are you?
Pretty good. It's a great political season, isn't it?
It's a lovely political season. It's a lovely political season.
I just wanted to make a brief comment about Hillary and Barack. I don't think Hillary, however she positions herself, is electable.
I don't think so either.
I think she's polarized herself so much.
But, Dan, can we just talk honestly about the whole gender thing?
Sure.
America's not going to elect a chick into the presidency.
I agree with that. Plus, I think she's turned a lot of people away from her own base.
Fact.
And I think that's going to affect her. And another thing... And that's about Hillary anyway. I don't think she's electable in America.
Mm-hmm.
And plus gender, plus a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about Barack, I don't think he's electable because of the racism in this country.
Absolutely, I don't think he's electable. I don't like him because he's like Hillary with his triangulation and stuff well. You know, I mean, but he's not electable. And good God, America is not going to elect a white woman and a black man as vice president.
No, because
it ain't happening.
They did to Ford down in Tennessee. I mean, that's just what they just one commercial. I mean, they'll make Barack. Look like he's from the
I think that the Harold Ford contest wasn't about that commercial. I think the Harold Ford contest was about Harold Ford ran to the right of Attila the Hun.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
he
right
ran
there.
To the right of Attila the Hun in a predominantly white state.
Yeah,
and he still didn't win.
They're very conservative. So.
But he was a Bible-toting, gun-carrying, I hate Nancy Pelosi Democrat in the South, okay?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, so, I mean, let's be clear. He is not, if he were white, he would be a Republican. If he were white, he would be a Republican.
Yeah.
So, you know, so if you run like that and you still don't win, the message of it is that, again, it goes back to the first thing that you said about race.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't happening in this country.
No, it's not going to happen, and I think they'll make it look like the birth of the nation again. They'll just bring out every canard they can think of.
And the other piece of it is that, maybe I should take that back, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen if you don't run from the heart. Okay.
Exactly.
And Barack Obama is not running from the heart, because if he were running from the heart, he would have been in Katrina, visiting Katrina as many times as he would have visited Katrina as many times as he's been on the cover of magazines.
Oh, you're exactly right.
And he did, visited the Gulf Coast as many times as he's been on the cover of magazines.
You're exactly right. I think a lot of these people just phoning up to get ready for the election.
I think so. And I think that, you know, and let us never forget, and no offense, Dan, but we can never forget the male ego.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, we can never forget the male ego. So, you know, it's got to be just heady. It's just got to be, dang, I'm the stuff. I'm the stuff with Barack Obama. And, you know, and he's human. You know, people fall into that. But where do you stand on the issues that matter?
But, he's a great speaker, and I think that's what got him here so far.
I think that people, sometimes Americans want to believe things about themselves that are not true, Dan, because there is a huge drop off in when white people say they're going to vote for a black candidate, when they get in that voting booth, it's a drop off of up to 15%.
Well, you can see about all these liberals, how they espouse integration, but look at white flight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at St. Charles County.
Mm-hmm.
That's just based on white flight.
Well, you can go to the Central West End.
Actions speak louder than words.
Well, absolutely. And Americans are not want to believe. They want some of them want to believe that race does not matter. Yes, it does.
Down
because
deep
if
in
it,
their,
it
down deep in their minds, it does.
Well, look at their actions. Look at the actions. Okay, all right. Race doesn't matter. What color is your doctor? What color are the teachers in your children's class? What color is your pastor? What color are the most of the people at the place where you shop?
Mm-hmm.
Race matters. Race. What color are the dolls that you buy your babies? What color? If race doesn't matter, I submit this challenge to all of the white people out there that say the race doesn't matter. When you buy your mama a Mother's Day card, when you buy your daddy a Father's Day card, when you buy your son a birthday card, buy a birthday card with a black person on it. Okay? Buy it because black people have done that forever because there weren't cards out there with black people on them. Buy a Mother's Day card if race doesn't matter, buy a Mother's Day card for your mother with a black woman on it.
It won't happen.
And why is that, Dan?
Well, because blacks and whites are really not integrated.
Race matters for white
exactly.
people. Wait a minute. Let's be clear. Race matters for white people.
Definitely. Oh, definitely it does. It's a part of our culture.
There you go.
Okay, Liz, you have a wonderful day.
Dan, you take care of yourself, okay?
Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Bye-bye. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Andre.
Hey, how you doing?
I am outstanding.
Good. You know race matters, and when has it not? I mean, that's what this country is based on. Three things that this society will always put on are race, money, and power. And they're all fingers of the same hand.
Buy a Mother's Day card
yes.
for your mother that has a black woman on it.
Take your white wife to a black gynecologist.
A black male gynecologist.
That's what I mean. How many are going to do that? Just think about that. So it's always going to matter. There's never going to be a time when it won't matter. And like I said, anybody who does not want to accept that, does not want to admit it, regardless of their race, is lying to themselves. And they're lying to everybody else when they try to put that out there. As far as Hillary's concerned, I've always seen the problem with her as being, well, Bill did the same thing. Leading by consensus and leading by polls.
But see, it shows how powerful sexism is because chicks dug it with
uh-huh.
Bill.
Uh-huh.
They don't dig it with Hillary.
Nope. And it's never going to, like you said, not only do you have to lead from the heart, you really just need to be a leader. People will follow a leader even if he leads them off a cliff.
Absolutely.
If he's really leading.
Absolutely.
And Hillary just is not going to do that, first of all. But you know what? I would even wager that this country would elect a white woman into office before it would ever give that office to a black man. The presidency still...
How many white women are in the Senate?
13, I believe. After over 200 years?
How many black men?
One.
It's only been how many in history? How many in history? Two.
Yeah, after 100 years. I think it was
right.
The priest that left in 1900 or 1901.
Edward Brooks.
Okay, Edward Brooks.
Right.
And that should tell you that race does matter. Of course it matters. And as I was about to say, the presidency in the minds of a great many people, especially white folks in this country, carries an almost quasi-religious connotation to it. It's like a spiritual office almost.
Got a roll, Andre. Thank you so much.
Okay.
1-877-920-WGNU. Andrew?
Morning, Liz.
Quickly, please.
Over 200 years of black and white presidents, it hasn't really been a black president. So you really need a black president to stop the racial war that exists today.
Thanks for your call. Peter.
You know, I see that Iran is going to host the Holocaust conference there in Tehran. But also they mentioned that they're going to host a conference on the Native American genocide and also the African genocide. I wonder if any of our leaders would be able to attend.
It'll be interesting to see who reports that, too.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for your call. Look, Aldermanic Watch is coming up. You don't want to miss it. My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
One little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Almanger. President Bush is gearing up for a major speech on Iraq, and this week you'll hear from just about anyone who has an opinion on the issue. More from ABC News senior national correspondent Claire Shipman.
Sources say the president's speech on his new vision for U.S. involvement in Iraq will come next week, and that will also come after much high-profile soul-searching and deliberating this week. He'll spend today at the State Department, tomorrow on a video conference with his generals in Iraq, and Wednesday at the Pentagon looking for advice.
There could be some big changes in Baghdad. ABC News has learned a group of Shiite Sunnis and Kurds has formed an alliance which could lead to the removal of Prime Minister Maliki, whom some believe can't control all of the factions in the government. Today, though, Iraqis will show a little national pride through sports. More from ABC's Aaron Katursky in Baghdad.
In a country where religious and ethnic division is often deadly, Iraqis struggle for unity. They found it in the national soccer team. Sunnis watch this weekend's quarterfinal match against Uzbekistan at this cafe, where a picture of Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr hangs on the wall. When Iraq scored, Sunnis and Shiites cheered and shot their guns in celebration. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Baghdad.
It's going to be a busy day for the shuttle Discovery crew. They arrive at the International Space Station this afternoon, carrying a new crew member and a two-ton addition to the space lab. The first of three spacewalks is tomorrow. Six-nation talks aimed at shutting down North Korea's nukes program for good resume this week.
After staying away for more than a year, North Korea is returning to negotiations with its neighbors and the U.S. The six-party talks will resume 1 week from today. It's the first time the two Koreas, the U.S., China, Japan, and Russia will meet as a group since the North tested a nuclear bomb in October. Sonia Crawford, ABC News, Washington.
This is ABC News.
Merry Christmas.
To many in your local community, this is the sound of Christmas. Together, Walmart and the Salvation Army's Red Kettle campaign have been helping change the lives of those in your community for 20 years. And this year, our commitment is stronger than ever. From our families to yours, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Tomorrow on ABC, Barbara Walters talks to the year's most fascinating people, including Borat star Sacha Baron Cohen, Grey's Anatomy's Patrick Dempsey.
Did you know that you were going to be the sex symbol in the show?
Super couple Brad and Angelina, tennis legend Andre Agassi, the woman behind the crocodile hunter Terry Irwin.
Did you ever say to him, this is too dangerous?
But one question remains. Who will be this year's most fascinating person? Barbara Walters' 10 Most Fascinating People of 2006, tomorrow at 10, 9 Central, only on ABC.
Mel Gibson's Meltdown may be history, at least in terms of his ability to sell a movie.
Apocalypto debuted at number one. Mel Gibson's first film since his anti-Semitic tirade last summer was the weekend's most popular movie, with a modest $14.2 million, barely ahead of The Holiday with Cameron Diaz and Jude Law.
I'm thinking we should have sex, if you want.
Is that a trick question?
Rounding out the top five, Happy Feet, Casino Royale, and Blood Diamond.
That diamond is my ticket out of this godforsaken continent.
The weekend's other new movie...
I got unaccompanied minors!
Unaccompanied minors finished sixth. Dave Alpert, ABC News, Hollywood.
You can't say the N-word anymore at the Laugh Factory, the L.A. comedy club where Michael Richards went on his tirade, but if you feel you must use it, Head to the Comedy Union Club. The owner, who happens to be black, says as offensive as that word may be to some, it's protected by the right to free speech. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
It's time for a report of WGNU News, brought to you by Yahoo. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, one suspect is dead and two others in custody after a police shooting in North St. Louis. Police say the suspects crashed and ran away from their car early yesterday morning at Cote Briant and Clara after officers tried to pull them over for running a stop sign. Officers shot 32-year-old Sterling Kilgore when he reportedly pointed two handguns at them. Kilgore died about an hour later at an area hospital. No charges have been filed against the other two suspects. Police in East St. Louis are holding a man who they say claims he killed his father. 70-year-old Harold McGarry was found dead at his home on Jefferson Saturday afternoon. Police say a man claiming to be McGarry's son went to the police station before McGarry's body was found and confessed to killing him. The suspect's name won't be released until he's formally charged. The local native is among the recent casualties of the war in Iraq. 32-year-old Army Captain Travis Patriquin graduated from Francis Howell North High School. Patriquin and Specialist Vincent Pamonti III of Ohio were killed Wednesday when a roadside bomb detonated near their vehicle. In Collinsville, an Indiana lineman's dead after coming to the St. Louis area to help restore power. The lineman was working for Indiana-based N.G. Gilbert and died of an apparent heart attack Friday while working in the Metro East. His name's not been released. And about 350 Ameren customers in Missouri and Illinois are still without power this morning. That number includes about 300 in the St. Louis area. Ameren officials say many of those outages are due to damage at customers' homes that will have to be repaired by contractors before the power can be restored. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by Yahoo. Yahoo's Best Answers 2006, where you can find the smartest questions and answers like, is coffee bad for your skin? Go to yahoo.com and click on Answers. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Chapstick. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and 270, look for some congestion there. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill all the way to 270, look for no delays. Northbound 270 at Gravoy and Marshall, we expect slow traffic. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, everything is running smoothly. Westbound 270 from 367 to West Florissant, look for heavy traffic in pockets. Northbound 55 at Herculane and McNutt and Route M, look for congestion there. Westbound 5570 at the 64 split, look for some delays. And northbound Route 3 from the 8th Street into the Poplar Street Bridge ramp, it is slow go there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from 5570 in the landing, look for slow. And westbound 40 at Bow Avenue all the way into 40 or the 5570 split, look for delays there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Chapstick. Every time you dream of drenching your lips in moisture, slide on Chapstick moisturizer for the healthy look and feel lips long for every day. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, rain likely, high in the lower 50s. This evening, rain likely, even a thunderstorm is possible. Steady temps will be in the upper 40s. For Tuesday, cloudy, another chance of rain and drizzle with a high around 50. And Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 44 degrees and clouds. Lambert Field is reporting light rain and 45. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, this is Liz Brown, and the heat is on. The third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is this Friday. You can drop your blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. Friday. The heat is on. The blanket drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry. Tonight.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to our Aldermanic Watch. My name is Liz Brown, and I am here with Lewis Reed. Lewis, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
All right.
Very,
excellent.
Very good. So let's. You know what? We have a couple minutes here before we take our first break. You had the Board of Aldermen meeting last Friday.
Yes.
What were some of the issues and items on the agenda that we're going to talk about this morning?
Well, Alderman Kennedy passed his bulletproof vest partnership agreement, and then there were a few other things on the agenda.
Well, and there's go ahead. I'm sorry.
Like the repeal of some moratoriums on liquor licenses, and then also adding a moratorium on liquor licenses in specific neighborhoods.
And then there's this one that we're going to spend some time on next week that is really, really huge, percolating through the Board of Aldermen. Modessa. Okay, talk to us just generally about that. What is Modessa?
Modessa is the Missouri Downtown Economic Stimulus Act, and it defines an area in downtown that's targeted for development. So
we're talking about, when we say targeted for development, we're talking about millions and millions and millions of dollars downtown, and an act that specifically brings businesses to, or brings economic development to, downtown.
Yes, it's a as a stimulus act is put in place to stimulate, you know, economic growth in that downtown area.
And how much of St. Louis are we talking about? What wards are we talking about?
We miss mainly the 7th Ward,
Phyllis
Young's Ward, and then parts of the 5th Ward, April Ford Griffin's Ward, and a block or two of the 6th Ward.
Very good. We'll be back to talk more about what's going on, what's cooking in the Board of Aldermen with Alderman Lewis Reed. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Aldermanic Watch. Stay with us. We will be back. Hello, this is Liz Brown, and the heat is on. The third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is this Friday. You can drop your blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. The heat is on. The blanket drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
The 25th anniversary tour of Cats is coming to your hometown. It's the original magical musical. It's a memory to last 9 lifetimes. Don't miss your chance to introduce your family to the wonders of live theater with the magic, the mystery, the memory of the Cats 25th Anniversary Tour. See it live on stage, then take the memory home forever with the Universal Studios home video. Coming to the Fox Theater December 27th through 31st. Tickets on sale now at MetroTix. Presented by the U.S. Bank Broadway Series. It's your last chance to see the 25th Anniversary Tour of Cats.
Make your holiday exciting by celebrating Christmas New Orleans style.
Come for the food.
Come for the art.
Come for the history.
Come for the sweet sounds of jazz.
Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan a December getaway filled with Réveillon feasts, free concerts, French Quarter shopping, and all the excitement of Harrah's Casino. And make it last with discounted hotel rates, courtesy of Papa Noel himself. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today to get your free guide with more than $2,400 in coupons and jazz up your December New Orleans style.
Come for the fun.
Come feel good.
Come for the beauty. Come for the
spirit, heart, and soul.
Come for it all.
Come fall in love with New Orleans all over again.
Discover Christmas New Orleans style at NewOrleansOnline.com.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. It's Monday at 7 a.m. We have our new addition to the Wake Up Call lineup, Aldermanic Watch. My guest, of course, with the Aldermanic Watch is Alderman Lewis Reed. Lewis, welcome back. And Irene J. Smith has joined us in the studio here to also contribute to the Aldermanic Watch. Irene J. Smith, good morning.
Good morning, Liz, and your listening audience, and Alderman Reed.
Good morning.
All right, so let's talk. Let's start moving down this some of these items. I think that it's interesting that there was a bill introduced by Terry Kennedy for some bulletproof vests. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, this is an agreement with the Office of Justice, and what it allows for is for a grant for bulletproof vests to provide about 972 vests.
And how significant of a thing is this? About how many police officers do we have in the city of St. Louis?
I think approximately 1,300.
1,300. So this should pretty much cover all the ones on the street, sounds like.
Yes.
And when a piece of legislation like this is introduced, what is the response of the Board of Aldermen? How was this done? Was it a voice vote? Was it or just an introduction? What stage of the aldermanic process is this bill?
This bill has gone through. Well, what happens is that it'll be introduced, and then it goes to first reading, then it goes to committee back. Then it comes back for second reading, mm-hmm. and then it goes to perfection and third reading, final passage.
So were there comments made on this bill at this point?
Yes, it went through the process. Mm-hmm. It went through committee hearings and the things of that nature.
Okay, so was it voted on?
Yes.
And did it pass?
Yes.
Okay, and was it one of those voice votes, or was it a name they called names?
You mean a roll call?
Roll call, that's the word I was looking for.
This bill went through voice vote.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And one of the things that before we proceed any further with some of these other issues on the board that you all talked about last week, I was having a conversation with some folks out there in the community. And Irene, you and I have had this conversation. I know you've had it with other people as well. When we talk about the role of the president of the Board of Aldermen, and we talk about the automatic board, it always goes back to the president. The issue of redistricting is one of the responsibilities of the president of the Board of Aldermen.
Yes, it is.
And Irene, the issue of redistricting will be coming up.
It certainly should be, and I'm sure it is, particularly since the present president of the board included it in his the poll that he is doing.
Okay. Well, I mean, but in terms of the next term of the president of the Board of Aldermen, the issue of redistricting will be brought up.
Certainly it will. During the next term, the issue of redistricting will come up because we would have gone through redistricting. We would have had another census.
Mm-hmm.
And so the issue of apportionment of wards will be before the Board of Aldermen.
And Lewis, what role does the president of the Board of Aldermen have in an issue as important as that?
The president of the board plays a key role in this whole process.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, he appoints the committee that reviews and recommends to the full Board of Aldermen the final map.
Mm-hmm.
So generally what happens in what they call the inside baseball
mm-hmm.
part of this thing is that the president will convene a body outside of that, outside of the actual legislation committee, and that body will start to formulate a map far earlier than the legislation committee actually takes the action on the bill.
Well, both of you were on the board at the last time the city of St. Louis redistricted, right, Irene?
Yeah.
That's correct.
And so can we kind of like maybe step back a little bit and talk about that process as you both remember it? Do you all recall, and Lewis, do you recall who the president of the board was? Shrewsbury. Who did he put on that committee?
He put a number of his friends and colleagues on that committee, people that he felt like, I'm sure, people that he felt like he can trust in them voting the way he needs them to vote. Alderwoman Phyllis Young mm-hmm. was the chairman of the committee at the time. I know Alderman Kenny Jones was on the committee, a number of other aldermen. I can't remember every person.
And in terms of your historical read on that and remembrance of that, and the reason I bring this up, Lewis, is because this is such an important issue for people to recognize the power of the president of the Board of Aldermen, and I think it's always good to make the historical connect so that we know exactly what we're talking about, since it's going to be coming up again shortly after this, not too long after this election. So when you look back and you think back on how that redistricting issue played out under Jim Shrewsbury, who is the current president of the Board of Aldermen, did it feel like it was an inclusive process in the selection of the people that he made to pick that?
No, not at all, not at all. And you know that we already hear talks on the streets of the city of St. Louis that there is a move afoot to move two more.
Two
more African-American wards out of Northside.
And if we talk about the money of that, Lewis, let's just talk about the money of that, because the moving of one ward out of North St. Louis took how much money away from North St. Louis?
A significant amount.
We're talking about millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars.
Okay,
yes.
So if we take, if we times that times three, we're talking about in 10 years the possible movement of $3 million? Is it $3 million a year?
We're talking about the movement of, on a yearly basis, of about $1.5 million if it's three wards, because we lose about $500,000 a year when you take into consideration, even more with block grant. But if you take into consideration the half-cent sales tax money, take into consideration the public works money, that's about $500,000. And then you couple in a block grant funds, which are also divided by wards, I think we'll be looking at close to $500,000 or more per ward. But let's just say it's 500,000 times three is $1.5 million
per year.
Per year.
So if we, and so we've already lost the 10-year process that we've lost the one ward that was removed when Shrewsbury was president. That's how much money? $5 million.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
$5 million.
Yes, conservatively speaking.
Conservatively speaking.
Yeah, and you know, the way that impacts the average everyday person out there, mm-hmm. is when you want your alleys paved,
mm-hmm.
When you want your potholes patched, everything you want done in that ward, from changing out street lights to brighter bulbs, all those things that use that funding, it's no longer there.
Mm. And in terms,
as well as home repair dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be available for a particular geographic area. Now you have a geographic area that has less of those dollars coming in.
And then the money doesn't just evaporate. The money then goes to another geographic area.
Exactly right. You got it.
And so in this process of again, looking back historically, when Jim Shrewsbury was the president of the Board of Aldermen and we had this redistricting issue come up, and he created the special committee filled with people that that would do what he said about this.
It wasn't a special committee.
It wasn't a special committee.
It was a standing committee of the board,
okay.
The legislation committee.
Legislation committee. So when we look back at that, Lewis, how was the city of St. Louis affected by those decisions in that redistricting, that went through a few years back?
It was affected in a number of ways, you know, just the financial implications that we just talked about, but also when you take a look at the dilution of consolidation of voting,
mm-hmm.
population. So once you do that and you divide,
okay, what does that mean?
If you have at the time the ward that was moved from north to south was a really high voting ward.
Correct.
Right.
Some say that the highest voting
African American ward and the highest voting Democratic ward in the city.
Right.
Yes. Yes. So now what you have is a dilution of that vote,
mm-hmm.
which shifts the power mm-hmm. out of a single ward over to a ward like the 16th Ward, which is Jim Shrewsbury's home ward.
Mm. So explain in basic terms, what does that mean? Does that mean that Jim Shrewsbury gets more voters and more power?
If you command or if you have the highest vote, one of the highest voting ward in the city, that helps you out tremendously when the Democratic Party comes to town and they want to decide where they want to spend their money to get out the vote or to support, you know, to get your support. They will spend those funds in that highest voting ward.
So it is, so when we look at the decisions that were made by Jim Shrewsbury as president of the Board of Aldermen, when we analyze that, when we break that down, not only was it a loss of money for North St. Louis, not only was it a loss of a ward, but it was also a calculated effort to bring more power to where he is.
Yes.
We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown and the board, and we're talking to Lewis Reed. This is the Aldermatic Watch, talking about the Board of Aldermen. And I'm here, of course, with Irene J. Smith. Good morning. We'll be back after this.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Robitussin. Northbound 55 at 70, there's a disabled vehicle on the right shoulder. It's backed up through 3200 South Broadway. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and 79, look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and Lindbergh, look for slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 55 at Germania and Holly Hills, it's also backed up a bit. Northbound 270 between Tesson Ferry and Marshall Road, look for some delays. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Bellevue, look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 from 367 into West Florissant, look for slow traffic as well. Northbound 55 at Herculane and McNutt and Route M, look for that traffic to be easing now. Westbound 270 at Illinois 203, the Canal Bridge, that congestion has been cleared. Southbound 55 from Germania through Carondelet, look for delays. Westbound 5570 from 64, look for some slow traffic there. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge, there are delays. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the 5570 split into Laclede's Landing, look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 64 at Ball Avenue to the 5570 split, look for slow traffic. And Natural Bridge at Brown Road, look for broken water mains. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Robitussin. Robitussin with formulas for coughs, colds, congestion, and flu. No matter what you've got, there's a Robitussin relief with your name on it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Rain likely today, high around 50. For this evening, rain likely, even thunderstorms are possible, lows in the upper 40s. Then moving on to Tuesday, cloudy, a chance of showers and drizzle. With a high in the mid-50s. For Wednesday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the mid-50s. Currently, we have 45 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 45. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, this is Liz Brown, and the heat is on. The third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is this Friday. You can drop your blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. The heat is on. The blanket drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
August and September, summertime is done. Days of sweet. Welcome back to the Aldermanic Watch. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Alderman Lewis Reed and Irene J. Smith. We're talking about what's going on down in the Board of Aldermen. And Lewis, I want to just kind of finish up a little bit, because we will be revisiting this issue because it's such a critical one as we look forward to the election with the president of the Board of Aldermen, and examining what happens here on the Board of Aldermen with the redistricting piece. Tell us, we were talking about the loss of you were talking about the loss of money to North St. Louis as a result of moving one ward to South St. Louis. And there's talk on the street that Shrewsbury and others are considering or talking about in this next redistricting that's coming up, the moving of two black wards from North St. Louis to South St. Louis. What other concerns should all citizens have about such a move?
Well, right now we've lost one ward, mm-hmm. And we stand to lose two more wards. Mm-hmm. And what that means in real terms, you know, aside from the $1.5 million per ward
mm-hmm.
a year,
mm-hmm.
it also means loss of representation.
What do you mean by that?
When you take a look at the makeup of the board and the things that are important to rebuilding North St. Louis, you need representation from North St. Louis if you really want to have a real voice in downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And what this will do is dilute that voice in downtown.
And when we talk about dilute that voice in downtown, aren't there other issues out here also that we're going to be missing this voice on? Because I'm looking at some of the issues on the agenda from last week's board. There are a lot of issues to vote on. We have the police flapjackets. We have a condemnation bill on here. We have bills like moratoriums on liquor licenses. All of these things, when you reduce the number of black representatives by three wards
yes.
in that period of time, what does that do?
Well, it impacts you in a lot of ways, because if you have board bills or issues that fall down racial lines, and you have less representation to support that issue. Like, for example, when the Citizens Review Board bill came up,
mm-hmm.
the original board bill fell strictly down racial lines, mm-hmm. where you had African Americans in support of the original board bill and non-African Americans not in support of it. But what we had to do was work through those issues, bring the board bill into alignment so that we can get the final board bill passed, which was unfortunately rejected by the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
But if we continue to reduce our representation.
And that's representation from North St. Louis and black alder people.
Yes. Yes, exactly right. Mm-hmm. Then we will continue to dilute the power.
Mm-hmm. And when we look at, you talked about an issue that was falling along racial lines, but aren't there other issues that are exclusive to North St. Louis?
Yes.
You know, so who will represent the issues that are exclusive to North St. Louis if we continue to lose alder people based upon a redistricting map put together by a person like, I don't know, like a president of the board, Shrewsbury?
Yes, I mean, if we continue to lose very important seats out of Northside,
mm-hmm.
it will impact North St. Louis in so many different ways. I mean, it's hard to even calculate.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the funding portion. We talked about the representation in terms of just having votes downtown.
Mm-hmm.
But other issues that are key to Northside, when you take a look at what it's going to take to redevelop it. If everything from being able to pass a, you know, neighborhood taxing district, everything from taking a look at some of these zoning issues, taking a look at liquor moratoriums, all those things that are important to that community, it becomes exceedingly harder to get those things moved through City Hall.
And Lewis, just in terms of, honest to goodness, if we just look at this in terms of fairness, what is the racial makeup of the city of St. Louis?
It's more African American. It's like 57% African American.
So if we some say 60-40. You know, I mean,
yeah.
if a real census, that some people are saying 60-40, right?
Some people say 60-40. Some people say 52.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and more and more you're hearing 57, 56.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but certainly certain some people say 60-40. So then, if that's the case, then shouldn't this legislative body be reflective of the city?
Yes, it should, I think. But, you know, to get there, we have to do, first thing we need to do is in March 6th, and is to make sure that we get more representation in leadership roles mm-hmm. in city government. Because if you take a look at citywide elected officials, 11 citywide elected officials, two of those citywide elected officials are African Americans mm-hmm. today.
And one of them is just a brand new elected official.
Well, you'll be three. With
yeah,
Mike.
Three with yeah, with Mike.
Because Larry
I'm sorry, two
and
now and then one.
And Darlene as, right. as comptroller.
Yeah. Right. So again, going back to what the city, the fairness issue of this, it just doesn't make any sense that we would have something like that happening in the city of St. Louis. 1-877-920-WGNU. This is the Automatic Watch. I'm talking to Lewis Reed, and Irene J. Smith is here as well. Good morning. You're on the Automatic Watch.
Good morning, Liz. Good morning, Irene. And good morning, Alderman Reed.
Alderman Troop, good morning.
Just can't get away from
good
this
morning.
Alderman.
All right. What's on your mind, Clint?
I was just listening to you all. That's a whole lot of things that when you talk about redistricting, we also have like three black wards or should have came out of this with three predominantly black wards. I mean, seriously predominantly, like 60% in South St. Louis. That we didn't. The splitting of black people in South St. Louis and the packing of black people in North St. Louis.
Define those two words, Quince, because I mean that.
Define the word splitting.
Cracking and backing.
In the black ward.
And packing.
Packing. They was packing them into the North Side ward, and they were splitting them up in the South Side ward, and that's how you end up with no virtually black wards. South of Market Street,
and it's interesting when they make when the argument is made that the reason we have to move a North Side ward is because North Side population moves, then how do we not end up with black ward?
Congressman Clay, he couldn't come past 44, and that was like the Mason-Dixie line that they set up for black people, and that was insulting.
Right.
And when you look at the power, if you got 40 to 50 people running this city and the chairman of these committees are not reflected in those departments, then that directly affects city services. The people that I've called to try to get service in North St. Louis, and when you demand something from them, they just freeze up on you because they don't have to give you anything because they're not mentally geared to service black people. And that's why our community is the way it is. It's about the bureaucracy that sits down there in City Hall that is controlled by the legislature. All of their budgets and everything come through the Board of Aldermen. We have never, since I've been there, even thought about, even dreamt of withholding the budgets from those departments that are not servicing our community. That's not even been on the black agenda, let alone talk about making white people sensitive to it. So
okay.
When you talk about reducing or losing the Sharon Tyers with the seniority that she has and replacing her with me with no seniority, that is a total loss. When you take Irene and with her experience and Sharon and you move them or cause them to want to leave the board, then that really impacts black people and it's more than just the issues that you are talking about. It's about the land. It's about the land, controlling the land.
Okay,
Quincy,
we got to get back. We got to get back.
And none of that includes, when you put a tip together, you could include some North and South St. Louis wards with it as well.
All right.
It don't have to be total commercial.
All right, thank you, Quincy. And that gets us to this other piece of legislation that I think really needs to be on people's radar, Lewis. This Modessa piece of legislation that is on the that was on the board bill or on the agenda last week. Talk to us a little bit about that and give us a heads up on the discussion that we're going to be having on that next week.
Yes, the Modessa bill, or Modessa is Missouri Downtown Economic Stimulus Act. And what it does is that it talks about a specific district that has been defined in downtown, which is mainly the 7th Ward, with small parts of the Fifth Ward and the Sixth Ward.
Let me read this right quick for the audience so that they can get a sense of this, so they can feel the significance of this. The St. Louis Development Corporation, SLDC, is issuing a request for qualification RFQs to firms interested in providing financial and urban planning services to SLDC in support of the implementation of the urban planning services, for the implementation of the Missouri Downtown Economic Stimulation Act, MODESA, and generally on a variety of other project finance and planning issues related to cost analysis, feasibility studies, cost-benefit reviews, project financing, and other related assignments for future and large-scale development projects. The firm selected as a result of this RFQ process, and this is the point that was interesting to me, will be placed on a short list and would be engaged as needed to provide services for specific projects as those projects are developed, are identified. This is a big deal. This is a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, and it's a huge deal when you talk about putting an economic stimulus package together that encompasses the majority of the commercial district of downtown. It is a big deal.
And it's also important for us to keep our eye on this, and that's why we're going to discuss this, because people need to know where the money's going and who's getting it and how it's being done and how it's impacting their community or not.
And how you get involved in it also.
Very good. We're going to be back. This is the Aldermanic Watch. I'm talking to Alderman Lewis Reed. I'm also here with Irene J. Smith. My name is Liz Brown. I will be back. Stay with me.
Goldie's Music presents the ultimate 50s vocal group collection called Doo-Wop Greats. Yes, you get the Cadillacs, the Platters, the Crests, the Del Vikings, Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, the Rivieras, the Kleptones, the Chantels, the Flamingos, Little Anthony and the Imperials, the Olympics, and the Five Satins, plus many more. Yes, you'll be singing along to the greatest doo-wop songs ever recorded.
I wonder who
Doo-Wop Greats. All songs have been digitally remastered for the highest quality. Call now and add Doo-Wop Greats to your collection. Call 1-800-577-3995. That's 1-800-577-3995. 1-800-577-3995. Call 1-800-577-3995. That's 1-800-577-3995.
Time for a WGNU Global News Update brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston. Dateline SeaTac Airport, Washington. Airport officials in Seattle pulled all of the airport's 25 Christmas trees from display after a request was made to have a menorah placed in the airport as well. Back in October, Rabbi Elazar Bogomilsky asked airport officials to install a 6-foot-tall aluminum menorah beside the largest Christmas tree on display. When neither side could reach an agreement, he threatened to sue, but says he never wanted the trees removed.
I would hope that they would reinstate and reinstall all those Christmas trees throughout the airport, and hopefully they would allow us to display a menorah.
A Port of Seattle spokeswoman says they elected to remove the trees and review the policy for next year. Other holiday decorations, such as wreaths and ornaments, are still displayed at the airport because individual airlines can put up their own displays as well. That's a WGNU Global News Update brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate. 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
Hello, this is Liz Brown, and the heat is on. The third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is this Friday. You can drop your blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. The heat is on. The blanket drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
They were guided by a shining star. To where he was, to see the place in the maze. Three wise men.
Welcome back to the Aldermanic Watch. My name is Liz Brown, and my guest is, of course, Alderman Lewis Reed and Irene J. Smith as well. Lewis, we're looking at some of the legislation that made it to the board last Friday, and let's talk a little bit about these liquor license moratoriums. We have one of those on the bill, on the board bill.
Yeah, these liquor license moratoriums. They happen, I imagine, every year you'd get two or three of these, this type of board bill passed. And what it does is that it places a moratorium on liquor license in a prescribed area.
Why would someone do that?
They do it because, I guess, for years, what has happened in some neighborhoods is that, you know, liquor stores would pop up on every other street corner.
Mm-hmm.
And this controls the growth of that and controls the development and helps the neighborhoods out by keeping some of that type of traffic down.
And I'm looking at that. Who introduced one?
Well, a couple of them. We had one that was repealed.
Wait a minute. Repealed means taken back?
Yes.
Okay. And that was Alderman Boyd?
Yes.
He repealed a liquor license moratorium in the 22nd Ward?
Yes.
Okay. We don't know why yet.
No, but it was probably, I would imagine that if he repealed that moratorium, it was because of something coming out of the neighborhood. So maybe the neighborhoods wanted it for whatever reason.
Well, because it's interesting to have one on and then a repeal of one. Is kind of, that's kind of interesting, isn't
it? That's pretty interesting, particularly in the 22nd Ward, to have to repeal a moratorium in the 22nd Ward is quite interesting.
It's very interesting. We'll have to follow up on that and see what that one was about. Now there's this interesting one, Board Bill 276, introduced by Kenneth Ortman. This is about the International Building Code. Talk to us about that one, Lewis.
What this board bill does is that it, number one, it talks about you know, the number of days that a property owner has to make the repairs on the property prior to condemnation.
Okay. And what's interesting about this is the number of days. I mean, 7 days.
Yes, from the time that you're cited.
Mm-hmm.
And you're told to make those repairs. You have approximately 7 days to make those repairs before they can come back out.
And come back out and do what?
And place it under condemnation.
So
condemned for occupancy.
So that's a shorter period of time, isn't it?
They changed the time period because, what was it, 10?
I believe it was 10 days.
Okay, so we've gone from, and this is in, it appears to be in, I guess, being consistent with the International Building Code. Is it bringing it up to the International Building Code, or is it changing the International Building Code? Do you know yet?
Well, what it does, what this thing does, again, it talks about you know, if you have a property in a specific ward or specific area that is a blight on the neighborhood and it's a problem property, whether it's occupied or unoccupied property that's in disrepair, with a number of complaints, this is an additional tool that can be used by the Board of Aldermen, by the city to bring that property into compliance.
Does this include LRA property? I'm just asking, okay? That's my job, just to ask the question. Does this include LRA property?
No.
No.
The answer is no. The answer is no. Now, see, okay. You know, and for those of you that don't know, that's the city-owned property.
Right, right. And that's why we need a legislative agenda that addresses that.
Mm-hmm, because I'm certain that you get complaints all of the time, Lewis, from citizens out here about the repair of city-owned buildings.
Yes, that is a huge concern for people. You know, the average person on the street, when they take a look at properties that are in disrepair, largely those properties are from the city, some of the city-owned properties.
Mm-hmm. And when we look at the things that contribute to the quality of life of people or bringing people into the city of St. Louis, or even, why are you telling me that I have to have my stuff done in 7 days? If you have been sitting on this property as the largest property owner in the city of St. Louis, yeah, and you're not taking care of your stuff.
Liz, that's exactly right. You hit on a very key point. When you take a look at some of the things that keep people from reinvesting in the city, we talked last week about crime and the perception of crime. This is one of those issues that strikes the core of perception of crime, which is a real issue that we need to address in our city. Because if you ride through a neighborhood and you see vacant abandoned buildings on every street corner, you see trash on the streets, graffiti on the walls, those things make you feel unsafe and it makes you feel like the neighborhood isn't being taken care of. It will prevent you from reinvesting in that community, and it will also prevent businesses from reinvesting in that community. So this LRA property is a big issue. I know we've been working to work through some of the issues of it across the years.
Okay, and we have all of these legislative bodies out here that are supposed to be doing stuff. We have a mayor, we have aldermen, we have comptrollers, we also have the president of the board of aldermen. What could the president of the board of aldermen do with something like this? Because Irene, you hear it all the time about these vacant buildings at LRA property in disrepair. What could the president of the Board of Aldermen do?
The president of the Board of Aldermen can take an active role in that by, number one, setting up a legislative agenda, working with each one of the individual aldermen to come up with some creative plans to address those buildings within their wards. Mm-hmm. You can also work with the mayor's office to help target funding to specific, the most needed wards to addressing those LRA property issues.
And that's what, bringing it back again full circle to the redistricting thing. When you have, from my perspective, Liz, when you have somebody that sits in the president of the board of aldermen's seat that has drawn the line in the sand saying that, okay, I'm cool with removing the most Democratic voting ward and high voting ward in the black community to South St. Louis and scattering it to the winds and taking the money from North St. Louis, I guess you have to ask the question because the reality is that the 16th ward probably has less unattended LRA properties than North St. Louis.
Exactly.
Does. Don't you think that we need somebody that sees the value? I mean, if it don't matter to him because it's not in his neighborhood.
It's what I call positive realignment of resources. We need to
positive realignment of resources. Okay.
Yes. We need to take a look at where specific resources are needed and apply those resources to that area. You know, like you laid out just a second ago, LRA properties and vacant abandoned buildings are a major issue in North St. Louis. What do we do about that?
Mm-hmm.
Do we put together TIF districts? Do we put together community improvement districts? Do we target block grant funding to those areas? Do we target demolition funds to those areas? How do we address that in a more holistic manner? You have to develop a plan. You have to work with each individual alderman, the constituency, to see what they would like to see that community be.
And fundamentally,
work to get those resources.
And fundamentally, you have to see value in that part of town.
Yes, you have to.
You know, and one of the things that Alderman Troop has talked a lot about is, demolition is cool, but why do all of our buildings, brick buildings in North St. Louis, get torn to the ground as opposed to rehab?
Yes, because there's a high demand for St. Louis bricks across the United States. It's a huge thing in other communities. I was in Minnesota last year, and the guy came up to me. We were all sitting talking, and he was building a $1 million home out in Minnesota. And he was so excited that morning when we were all having coffee. He did not know that I was from St. Louis. He was so excited because he had finally got confirmation that he was going to have St. Louis bricks delivered for his $1 million home in Minnesota. Where do you think those bricks came from?
From tearing down buildings in North St. Louis.
All right, got it.
There you go. We'll be back next week. Lewis Reed, thank you so much. Irene J. Smith.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Wait a minute, Lewis.
Blanket drive.
Tell us what you're going to do, Lewis.
I'm going to commit $500 to the blanket drive.
Excellent.
And I challenge everybody out there to bring a blanket, drop it off with Liz, or to commit funding.
There you go.
Liz and Irene.
And we hope to see folks at the live broadcast at 3035 Bell in the 19th Ward.
You're going to be there, right?
On Friday.
All right. Friday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Lewis, Irene, thank you so much. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Come and trim my...
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. President Bush is looking for a new Iraq strategy, and this week he gets an earful on the issue. More from ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
Pushing the Iraq Study Group report further to the side, President Bush begins an intensive week of consultations with outside voices, historians, and some retired military coming to the Oval Office today. And he is making trips to the State Department today and Pentagon on Wednesday to make a point that he's listening. Officials here suggest President Bush is trying to announce by Christmas what they call a new way forward in Iraq. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Barack Obama may want the president's job. The Illinois senator is seriously considering a run for the Democratic presidential nomination. And he got a rock star's welcome over the weekend where it will all begin.
He said that this is what the process is all about, and that voters in New Hampshire and Iowa and elsewhere, should he decide to run, will be able to ask him questions about his experience or lack thereof, and by the end of the process, they'll have a good feeling for him. He also says that what may be more important than experience is judgment. He says that Donald Rumsfeld has one of the most impressive resumes in Washington, D.C., and yet look where that led us in terms of Iraq.
ABC's Jake Tapper in Manchester, New Hampshire. Space Shuttle Discovery is heading for the International Space Station with a docking later today. There have been fights and protests. Augusto Pinochet's death has been a lot like his life. The former Chilean dictator died of the heart attack that he had last week, but he will not be getting a state funeral.
We expect four ceremonies at the military academy where his body is going to be taken, and it's expected his funeral will take place on Tuesday.
The BBC's Luisa Baldini in Santiago. A South Carolina couple has gone missing. Wayne and Dwayne Guay were on their way to New York City for a holiday visit. They were expected to arrive last Thursday. This is ABC News.
She walks in beauty like the night, of cloudless climes and starry skies, and all that's best of dark and bright meeting in her aspect and her eyes, thus mellowed to that tender light which heaven to gaudy day denies. This is how the poet Lord Byron said, "I love you." This Christmas, say something just as beautiful without saying a word. A diamond is forever.
I'm a mother of three, and I'm just beginning a whole new career. I'm enjoying this part of my life every bit as much as when I was winning 18 Grand Slam tennis titles. And with delicious new CitraCal Creamy Bites, I even enjoy taking the calcium I need to help prevent osteoporosis. I'm Chris Everett. I'm 51, and I am strong. Tell us about a strong woman you know at StandStrong.com. Citrical Calcium. Stand strong.
A little Texas boy got a very early lesson on the boundaries of appropriate behavior. Here's ABC Stephen Portnoy.
At age four, the boy may well be the youngest person ever to be accused of sexual harassment. Administrators in the La Vega school district say the boy took things a bit too far when his pre-K teacher's aide hugged him. The letter home says the boy, quote, rubbed his face in the chest of a female employee. The charge was sexual contact and or sexual harassment. Dad says when he got the letter, his world flipped. The charges were lessened to inappropriate physical contact, but the boy still served in-school suspension. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News.
More of us women are skipping pantyhose when it comes to the job. A survey by hosiery maker Haynes says we only wear them to work about one day a week. That's down from over 3 days a decade ago. The company says more office places are okay with bare legs. Remember, that used to be a no-no. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Here's an update of WGNU News brought to you by Open from American Express. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, a Lima woman faces charges nearly 4 months after the death of a MoDOT worker. 69-year-old Mary Lott is charged with involuntary manslaughter in the August accident that killed motorist assist worker Ken Hoyerman. Prosecutors say Lott was not paying attention when she struck Hoyerman on the scene of a vehicle fire on I-55 at Weber Road. Lott is free on bond. The reward's being offered for information leading to the robber who stole a crucifix from a local priest. Police say a man armed with a knife robbed the priest last Tuesday in 3100 block of Hampton. Crime Stoppers is offering a reward in the case. Anyone with information can call the Crime Stoppers anonymous tip hotline. That's 866-371-TIPS, T-I-P-S. The Eureka Fire Protection District is offering Christmas tree safety tips. Scott Barthelmass, a spokesperson for the district, says you can help protect your family from a potential fire hazard by keeping the tree properly watered. Barthelmass says the safest tree is a fresh one that you cut down yourself. He says once you get the tree home, you should make sure it's placed in a sturdy stand and kept away from heat sources. And the Postal Service is urging everyone to mail their holiday packages as soon as possible. Stephen Boggs, a spokesperson for UPS, says don't use old boxes or labels to ship your packages and put a second shipping label inside the box in case the outside label becomes unreadable. Boggs says packages need to be shipped no later than December 21st. And that's WGNU News for this hour, brought to you by Open from American Express. Open, how American Express serves small business. To learn more, visit open.com or call 1-800-NOW-OPEN. I'm Peyton Colston, reporting WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by TomTom.com. Northbound 55 at 70, look for disabled vehicle on the right shoulder, backed up through Rivas Barracks. Northbound 55 at Herculaneum McNutt, there's an accident that's been cleared. Expect some delays going on there. Eastbound 70 between K and 79, stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Lindbergh, look for slow traffic in pockets. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Marshall Road, it is slow go this morning. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 from 367 in the New Florissant, look for some delays. 270 northbound at Clayton and Ladue, look for stop-and-go traffic. And southbound 278 between Olive and Ladue is stop-and-go traffic due to lights not working there as well. 170 southbound at 270 and North Hanley, look for heavy volume. All your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays due to the morning rush hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable everyday GPS solution. Just tap on the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Rain likely today, high in the lower 50s this evening. Rain likely, even the possibility of a thunderstorm. The temps will be in the upper 40s for Tuesday. Cloudy, another chance for rain with a high in the mid-50s. And Wednesday, cloudy with a high in the mid-50s as well. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds. Our current temperature is at 44 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 45. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call is up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, this is Liz Brown, and the heat is on. The third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is this Friday. You can drop your blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. The heat is on. The blanket drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby. So hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby. So hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with the duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry. Tonight.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much business to tend to. James.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I am outstanding.
Liz, I wanted to comment concerning your the guest you just had concerning the housing code violations. Mm-hmm. I think that's very interesting. Now, Liz, my parents left me a home in the 18th Ward, and as I was making repairs on my home, the city just started citing me just for no reason. I couldn't figure out what was going on. And one of the interesting things that I found out as a result of my experience with these citations is that the city now has the authority to cite a particular homeowner for a violation and fine them without even going to court. And if you want to appeal the fine, you have to pay a $20 appeal fee to an administrative hearing, which basically they come in and tell you you're in violation and you still have to pay the fine.
And it's non-refundable.
And it's non-refundable. I think that's totally unconstitutional. And in addition, Liz, I think every citizen must, particularly in North St. Louis, to say that under no circumstances should any additional oppressive building code violations be legislated until the city is made to fix their own buildings. I think we should say that if you're going to impose these requirements to citizens, then the city should not be exempt. LRA should not be exempt from fixing up those buildings as well.
Absolutely.
What I think we need, Liz, is what Alderman Reed talked about, is a comprehensive plan to rebuild the housing stock in North St. Louis. You mentioned earlier we had the Team 4 report. This was a process by which there was a concerted effort to neglect our housing stock, and now that we have this dilapidated housing stock, all we're doing is tearing down buildings. I think we need more economic development to improve the housing stock in North St. Louis, not more oppressive building code violations
that are not enforced on any on the same on the people that are enforcing them.
Absolutely.
James, thank you so much. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back after this. Stay with me. Hello, this is Liz Brown, and the heat is on. The third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is this Friday. You can drop your blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. The heat is on. The blanket drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers. And we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your health care needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Smokey here. When you're a hardcore biker like me, it's nice to know that Geico Motorcycle Insurance covers most kinds of bikes and has money-saving discounts. It's reassuring. It's like I have an imaginary sidecar, and my guardian angel's riding in it. And he's brought plenty of juice boxes and muffins, and he's totally cool with sharing. Yeah, old Smokey's never been too good with metaphors.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Just like a well-built house needs a good design and plan, so do our lives. This is Sandy.
And this is Bobby.
Two life coaches. Please join us as we take your questions about designing your life. We'll discuss life planning, following through, and the obstacles that get in the way.
This is your weekly chance to get some answers you've been looking for. We hope you'll join us on The Design Life on WGNU every Monday afternoon from 4 to 5.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Sleigh bells ring, high elves
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz. How are you doing? I just had to call you back. I heard Buchanan call, and he was right on target. But what I was trying to get to that you all didn't talk about, in the city of St. Louis, I think we have something like 50 TIFs that they've let for hundreds of millions of dollars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not a one of them is in North St. Louis.
Mm.
Not a one. Not one TIF is in North St. Louis.
And explain what that means, Quince.
What it means is that there's a legislative. Look, when you put together a redevelopment plan, the plan and the properties don't have to be contiguous to each other. So you can, like, let's say, if you was going to do a ballpark, you can say, okay, we're going to do the ballpark. But we're going to do three of the worst south side wards and three of the worst north side wards in this deal. And if you make that a part of the deal, then the people with the money and can leverage and cross-leverage that money, and you can do commercial and residential. Now, but their residential component was a $300 million ballpark village, and they wanted to do a $100 million TIF. Or tax abatement to do it. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the city only has so much credit. So whenever North St. Louis start moving, the amount of TIF is going to be, their liability is going to be so great that the city is going to be hocked right up to its ears. And then the TIFs are going to be more difficult. Then the TIFs will become fiscally irresponsible to give North St. Louis TIFs because
that's what I was getting ready to say, that it feels to me that then the next step is to say, well, we can't afford to do them anymore.
That's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is, what we have to take the position as blacks is, you got to build, when you do a TIF, we've got to have areas that are developed along with the other areas in the other TIF areas, and the tax abatement and the TIFs, that all impacts the school system. So you're draining money out of the school system. The kids' quality of education is going down. The community is going down. They're building the charter schools and vouchers and all that other craziness. So, you know, you would be a fool to sit there and say that that's not a plan when you look at the components. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
I mean, when you get the little pieces of information, you put it together, is a real plan. And it's a part of the Team 4 plan. Is that Wright Jr. that wrote the book, you know, Disappearing Communities and Irene, and you all were talking about last week, a week before that, when this young black male called and said he didn't believe Team 4, but Team 4 been out there for 100 years almost. But anyway, it's a plan, Liz. And I'm saying that when you look at these, now the downtown issue is an issue that went through, it's set up by the state to rehab downtown areas. And that's a whole different pot of money. But it still requires a lot of support from the city. Got some good points and bad points. But the bad problem about the TIF spirit is that none of them are happening in North St. Louis. That's the bad part.
All right, Quince.
Thanks for
that. Oh, and thank you for the $500 for the blanket drive.
Oh, well, it's going to be more than $500.
All right now.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning.
And Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and all that stuff.
Happy everything.
Happy everything, especially health.
There you go.
Years ago, I was talking to a priest. This goes way back. It was Sacred Heart by the Water Tower in North St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd seen some sketches about a fellow wanted to fix that area up and put sidewalk cafes out there. And I asked him what happened to that. And he said, oh, this whole area is redlined. And I didn't understand what redlined meant. You couldn't get loans to fix anything up.
Couldn't get loans, couldn't get projects, absolutely.
Now, can you explain to me what that was all about, and maybe still is?
Well, the same thing that Quincy, that Alderman Troop was just talking about in terms of a plan. There's a plan that was put in place decades and decades and decades ago.
30 years ago.
Mm-hmm, decades ago to turn North St. Louis, most of North St. Louis, into kind of a land bank area and move the resources or keep the resources of building, keeping buildings up, code violation enforcement, all of that south. The money of the city would be dedicated to the revitalization and the rebuilding of South St. Louis.
That's part
of it. So it's moving. And one of the things, and so when you say it's redlining, think about it from this aspect as well. You're, lots of black folks owned property in North St. Louis 30 years ago.
That's right.
And what a lot of people do when they own property is that when it comes time for their kids to go to college or you start to approach middle age and you want to do something different, you make a loan on your property. Mortgage companies were not giving, if you're redlined, they're not giving you mortgage value or second mortgages on your homes. And at the same time, know also that people were also being steered out of North St. Louis. They were being steered to places that used to be white folks. Jennings used to be white. A lot of these other suburban areas used to be white, but white folks moving out to St. Charles, leaving housing stock behind, mortgage lenders, real estate folks, steering folks to, and remember, you can't get decent loans in the city of St. Louis, so they're steering black folks to these county areas.
And these people probably owned their property in North St. Louis. Now they had to mortgage.
Right, exactly. Or you can get a cheaper mortgage or a real mortgage, a decent mortgage on the house in the new house in the suburbs, in the inner suburbs. So that it's a plan. It is a plan of you, and the reason for the plan is that you don't want a concentration of power. If North St. Louis is as healthy as South St. Louis is, then you've got a contender, don't you?
One more quick thing, and I'll let you go. There was also a plan north of the arch, the old produce row.
Mm-hmm.
There was also a plan there to develop that and turn that in for a tourist attraction with the outdoor cafes and the kiskas and that.
I would say that the city of
St. disappeared.
I would say that the city of St. Louis, compared to, I don't know, 90% of the cities in the United States of America, is the most poorly designed city on the waterway in America. If you go down to the landing, it's just waste. There is wasted space. There is no development. This is riverfront land, and we couldn't even keep a floating McDonald's on the riverfront.
Who are the people behind this stop in progress? I couldn't understand it.
Well, the same folks that are behind, there's always a little cabal.
Right.
You know, there's always a little cabal. You know, and the modern name for it in St. Louis is Civic Progress.
Just a handful of group of bankers, I guess.
White male bankers.
Like, yeah, because I never understood who they were and why you would do that.
Do you understand better now?
Oh, I do. And
all
I
right.
really appreciate your helping us.
All right. You're welcome.
You have a good holiday.
Happy holidays to you as well. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. We're going to take a break. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's my number. If you want to get to me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget the blanket drive. Blanket drive. Blanket drive is Friday. It starts at 6 a.m. We are broadcasting live from the George Washington Carver House at 3035 Bell. That's Bell and Cardinal. You can drop off your blankets at Carver House or drop off your donations at Carver House. Wake up call, blanket drive. Drop off your donations, drop off your blankets. We prefer blankets. Drop them off at, and we'll be there to pick them up. You can drop them off at the station or you can drop them off at Carver House. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back after this. Stay with me.
Morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Yahoo. Northbound 55 at 70, the disabled vehicle on right shoulder, and traffic's back up to Union and Pockets this hour. Eastbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and 79, look for traffic to be easing. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and McKnight, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Gravois and 44, you've got slow traffic going on there. Westbound 40 between Hampton and Hanley, look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 from 367 through West Florissant, you can expect no delays there. Northbound 270 from Clayton through Ladue, look for traffic to be easing this hour. Southbound 270 at Olive and Ladue, look for no delays. Southbound 170 between 270 and Hanley, look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 5570 at Tudor, you've got slow traffic in pockets. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge from 8th Street, you can expect slow traffic going on there. Natural Bridge at Brown, there's a report of water main broken. All your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect some delays due to rush hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Yahoo. Yahoo's Best of Answers 2006. Where can you find the smartest questions and answers, like is coffee bad for your skin? Go to yahoo.com and click on answers. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, rain likely, high in the lower 50s. For this evening, rain is possible. Even a chance of a thunderstorm, low in the upper 40s. For Tuesday, cloudy, a chance of rain with a high in the 50s. And Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. Currently, we have at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have cloudy conditions. Our current temperature is sitting at 44 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 44 and clouds as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Brown, and the heat is on. The third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is this Friday. You can drop your blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. The heat is on. The blanket drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
Are you ready to step out? Are you ready to put those dancing shoes on? Are you ready to listen to the music that made America swing? Then you're ready for Swing Time. Goldie's Music has compiled over 40 of the best of the big band era dance songs in a three-CD set called Swing Time. Enjoy Glenn Miller, Tommy Dorsey, Duke Ellington, Woody Herman, Benny Goodman, Count Basie, Artie Shaw, Les Brown, Sammy Kaye, Stan Kenton, and many, many more. All songs have been digitally remastered for the highest quality and sound. Keep the party swinging with Swing Time. This collection of masterpieces is not available in any store. Here's how to order.
Call 1-800-577-3995. That's 1-800-577-3995. 1-800-577-3995.
Swing Time makes a great gift.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
It's Christmas time. This Christmas time. And you're so far from me. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. With mouth between us, I will not see the bells that chime all night at Christmas time. Oh, the merry Christmas.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. In the next hour, we're going to be talking about Jimmy Carter's book, causing quite a stir out there, talking about Palestinians and apartheid. We're going to have that conversation in our Mondays at 9 hour in the next hour, so you don't want to miss that. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Kathy, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Liz. I like your program. Listen, is there any way that we can find out the names of the LRA people that are over LRA, and do they have meetings where the citizens can put some input into what they're doing?
You know what? I will run that by Lewis Reed when he comes on the show next Monday.
Okay.
Absolutely.
We need to be in their face.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. And if you want to email me, revolution@lizbrown.com. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Fine. Last week I called and talked about how people who get the tax abatements from the city, which is part of the TIF program, how they should at least be made to buy something for the city, like like a fire truck or something like
yes.
that.
Yes,
I'd like to stress that out a bit more if I can.
Okay.
They can be used. You know, some cities recycle their fleets after, say, maybe 2 or 3 years. So the city of St. Louis could get emergency vehicles or fire trucks or police cars from other large major cities that recycle their vehicles no faster than, say, that we do. You know, I think we need things like this to be innovative in the city of St. Louis. And like Mr. Troop said, keep that money for the taxpayers in the city. Black people pay taxes in the city of St. Louis. We need to be holding people accountable for the tax money that we have to pay every year.
Absolutely.
And I think this really needs to be looked into, and then all we'd have to do is get some 55-gallon drums of orange paint and paint the city of St. Louis on these used vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And if they talk about somebody, they'll say, oh, what about the liability? Well, the city has a legal department. Let them deal with that aspect of it.
Absolutely.
You have a great day.
Take care of yourself, Bill. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. David.
Yes. How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Liz, I don't understand it.
Turn your radio down, please.
Okay, hold the phone just a minute, please.
1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get to me.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. The alderman, the only way you can buy property or land that belongs to LRA is you get a letter of approval from the alderman. My family and myself have been owning this commercial building for 69 years. And I tried to purchase some land that's been vacant for 7, 8, 9 years right next door to me. And my alderman refused, says he's holding it for developers. Well, I wanted to expand my business, so I need the land in order to expand my business. I'm in construction. And he refused to sell to me, and he says he's holding it for developers. Well, what about the people that's been here for 40, 50, 60 years? Don't they have the right to improve their business, expand their business, so they can let their offspring keep continuing doing like I did when mine had a radio television shop and everything like that here? I have a construction company, but I got to move because I don't have enough room.
Well, who's your alderman?
Shelton.
O.L. Shelton.
O.L. Shelton.
Mm.
And I'm only a block and a half from his office.
Well, you know, I mean, I think O.L. Shelton is up for re-election.
Well, I'm going to try to get him out of there.
You know, I mean, it's unfortunate. It really is unfortunate because if you have been a good steward and you've taken care of your property, you've demonstrated that you've demonstrated a commitment to the community because you've stayed there. And if you've been a good steward and a good citizen there, I believe that you should get priority.
Yes.
You absolutely should get priority because you're putting money back in, and someone like you is going to stay.
Yes, and I'm retired from the city, Bill Street, for the city, 14 years, 9 months, and all of that. And still, you know, I say, well, you know, can I just get 50 feet of the lot? It's been sitting there vacant. You know, I need it for parking my vehicles and my construction equipment. Oh, it's too many trucks. It's an eyesore to the community. I just say, well, I'd give up, you know?
Mm.
It's pitiful.
Well, that's unfortunate, and that therein lies the challenge to electing the right type of leadership to your community.
Yes.
Therein lies the I mean.
But the thing is, see, I don't live in the city, but I own 3 or 4 pieces of property in the city.
But there are plenty of people that don't live in the city. There are people that live in Guatemala that have given money to campaigns in it.
So, for sure.
Not living in the city, and when property and when you have a vested interest, is absolutely not so. I mean, surely you have some influence in the community where your business is located.
Yes.
Surely you have some influence in what happens in that election, and the election is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
O.L. Shelton is up for re-election. There should be somebody running against O.L. Shelton. I mean, you know, let's get it on.
That's the answer.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Don't forget that we are archived at whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org. If you've missed an hour, go get an hour at whiterosesociety.org. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Huh. Tough sentencing laws, record numbers of drug offenders, high crime rates here in the United States. I've talked to you about the fact that we have 7 million people in jail on probation or on parole, and 2.2 million people in jail. One out of every 32 adults. There are more people behind bars in the United States than any other country in the world. Our closest competitor is China, with 1.5 million prisoners. Russia has only 870,000 people. The U.S. incarceration rate of 737 per 100,000 people is the highest. Russia, it's 611 per 100,000, 547 for St. Kitts. The incarceration rates in many Western industrial nations, they range around, are you ready for this? 100 people per 100,000. You want to look at it another way? You want to feel this number in another way? The United States has 5% of the world's population and 25% of the world's incarceration population. Let me say that again. We have 5% of the world's population and 25% of the world's incarcerated population. We now imprison more people for drug violations than all of Western Europe, with a much larger population incarcerates for all offenses. We have a more punitive incarceration justice system than any other country in the world. We send more people to prison for more different offenses for longer periods of time than anybody else in the world. God bless America, right? I'll be back.
Holiday exciting by celebrating Christmas New Orleans style.
Come for the food.
Come for the art.
Come for the history.
Come for the sweet sounds of jazz.
Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan a December getaway filled with Réveillon feasts, free concerts, French Quarter shopping, and all the excitement of Harrah's Casino. And make it last with discounted hotel rates, courtesy of Papa Noel himself. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today to get your free guide with more than $2,400 in coupons and jazz up your December New Orleans style.
Come for the fun.
Come feel good.
Come for the beauty. Come for the
spirit, heart, and soul.
Come for it all.
Come fall in love with New Orleans all over again.
Discover Christmas New Orleans style at NewOrleansOnline.com.
It's time for a WGNU Global News Update brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston. Dateline Sierra Leone, there's renewed interest in the illegal diamond trade in Sierra Leone known as conflict diamonds, thanks to the newly released film Blood Diamond. While the civil war in Sierra Leone funded by conflict diamonds is over, experts on the subject say more still needs to be done to keep such diamonds out of our jewelry stores.
Most countries' governments are actually issuing the Kimberley Process Certificate, which is basically guaranteeing that the diamonds that have entered into that country are clean and are conflict-free. Here, the U.S. government has delegated that authority to the diamond industry itself.
Rory Anderson is World Vision's Senior Policy Advisor for Africa. She says illegal diamond trade results in human rights abuses by rebel groups using the diamonds to fund their conflicts, while legitimate trade helps fund health care, education, and other vital services. That's a WGNU Global News Update. It's been brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate. 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Wow! Mommy's kissing Santa Claus!
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Barack Obama descended into New Hampshire. Thousands of people met him, paying $25 a pop to meet him. It was standing room only at a book signing and at Portsmouth, where 750 available tickets were snapped up. In Manchester, over 2,000 people paid $25 apiece to hear him speak at the celebration of New Hampshire's Democratic Party's historic victories in the last month's midterm elections. You got to ask yourself the question of why Hillary wasn't there. What happened to Hillary? To the question that everybody was asking Obama, is he going to run? Obama said, I haven't made that determination. I'm still running things through traps. I want to take my time on it, not only to make sure politics makes sense, but that I feel I have something unique to offer that would help move the country forward. Well, you've been a United States Senator for 2 years. I guess it's time to be president. 1-877-920-WGNU. He closed his speech on Sunday with words that seemed to signal a growing interest in the campaign. Quote, America is ready to turn the page. America is ready for a new set of challenges. This is our time. A new generation is prepared to lead. Aides say a final decision will come in January, while in the meantime, the Obama team continues to prepare the machinery for a campaign if Obama concludes that the time is right. Pronouncing himself suspicious of hype, Obama said he would not be driven into the race simply because of opportunity, but because I think it will serve the country well by that. Huh? You're not considering the opportunity that this is? Opportunity is not a word in your vocabulary. The acts that you're engaging in are not calculated to facilitate this opportunity to run as the President of the United States. Y'all think I'm stupid? Hillary Clinton, has been making calls into New Hampshire for the last week in anticipation of the 2008 campaign, but is not expected to appear in that state until next year. Democrats who came to hear Obama say as much as they admire Hillary Clinton, they think she cannot win and see the senator from Illinois as a potentially attractive alternative. Huh. In all of my history, said a strategist familiar with the politics of New Hampshire, in all of my history, nobody has ever had a crowd this big this early. This being New Hampshire, where citizens wait to see a candidate several times before declaring their allegiance, curiosity as much as real support attracted many of the people who came to see Obama. They wanted to know more about who Obama is, what he believes, and whether after 2 years in the Senate he's ready to be president. I need to know a little bit more about him, his stance on some serious issues. She was, and this came from the Mary Johnson of Kittery, Maine, who was in the front row. She worried that he is too inexperienced to be president by saying, I think it would be a mistake for him to run in 2008. Here's the thing. America is looking for, I think America is constantly on the lookout for, they're looking for that drug to make them feel better about the history and the legacy of racism in this country. I believe that. I believe that a lot of people out here are that way. It's not like you wake up with it on the first thing on the front of your in the front of your mind, the first thing in your thoughts. But I genuinely believe that many Americans, when confronted with the issue of race, struggle with it. And because the struggle is hard, they're looking for a quick pill to make it go away. Just like people that are overweight would rather take a pill than do the two things that it takes to lose weight. Exercise and eat less. The same with racism. People don't want to do the hard work to fix the racism problem in this country, so they're looking for the quick fix. They're looking for that thing that makes them say it's fixed. And I believe that Obama represents for many Americans that quick fix. It's the Obama pill. You shed your racism by taking this pill. You don't have to exercise. You don't have to eat right. You just take the Obama pill. And the Obama pill is a little tricky thing. It's a tricky thing. Because the real thing is whether or not she would vote for him. The real thing is whether or not she would vote for him. But I think in the meantime, in the in-between time, Obama is a quick fix. It makes people feel that they have addressed the issue of racism in this country. And racism and their relationship with race within themselves. I support Obama. Therefore, check and mate. I'm done with this race issue. I've taken a pill. I have had my stomach stapled. I don't have to worry about what I eat anymore because I have my stomach stapled. I did the easy thing. So I think the Obama is that pill for America, white America. And I also think, and in some respects, I think it's a pill for some black folks too, some African folks out there too. Because some African folks out there also want to believe that this thing of racism is done. And they use Obama, they take the Obama pill too. They take the Obama pill and say, well, you know, everybody is supporting Obama, then that means that Democratic Party's cool. We've all dealt with this horrible, hard issue of racism. We're done with it. Let's take the Obama pill and it's done. No, it's not. No, it's not. Because if you were really sincere about looking for somebody to lead this country, if you were really sincere about leading this entire country, you would be looking for someone who's been in office, and then you would be looking at that someone's record. What is your record on the stuff that matters to us? Have you been in New Orleans more times than you have? I mean, have you been in New Orleans more times than you've been on the cover of magazines? I'm just asking. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Mondays at 9 is going to be happening after I take this bit of a break. We're going to be talking about Jimmy Carter's book, Palestinians in apartheid? What's the Jewish community's response to that? We're going to be talking about that when we come back. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
So hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. The Taco Bell onion scare wasn't its first indication something was wrong, nor was that huge spinach recall. The FDA says it's known for a while that more needs to be done about food safety. Here's ABC's Pam Coulter.
Worried about a drop-off in sales, the produce industry is asking for more regulation, and the FDA's Dr. Robert Brackett says the public does need more protection from things like E. coli.
This is a devastating illness when someone gets it. It can be debilitating for life. It can be deadly. And so we take every case very, very seriously.
A push is on to boost the FDA's food safety budget, which has been declining for years. That would allow the agency to increase research, hire more inspectors, and develop new food safety guidelines for produce like bagged spinach. Pam Coulter, ABC News, Washington.
President Bush is preparing to outline his new plans for Iraq. This week he hears from just about everyone who has an opinion on the issue. There could also be some changes in Baghdad.
ABC News has learned that the president will make his major speech outlining his new Iraq strategy next week. Meanwhile, in Iraq this morning, we've also learned that rival factions may be cooking up plans to oust the Iraqi prime minister. One of the options here at home, the president is said to be considering in his new Iraq strategy, a surge in U.S. troops.
ABC News senior national correspondent Claire Shipman. Have you shopped till you dropped?
Who you want to be if you sell toys is Barbie. The venerable doll is a top seller this holiday season. Mattel says sales of Barbie are up for the first time in years. But it's not just the doll. Toys R Us stores reportedly were mobbed over the weekend. Shoppers going for deep discounts on many toys. With 2 weeks to go, more discounts are in the wind as mortar and brick stores compete with the internet. Online sales are up 25% from last year.
Barbie girl.
Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Dow and NASDAQ both up. This is ABC News.
She walks in beauty like the night, of cloudless climes and starry skies, and all that's best of dark and bright, meeting in her aspect and her eyes, thus mellowed to that tender light which heaven to gaudy day denies. This is how the poet Lord Byron said, I love you. This Christmas, say something just as beautiful without saying a word. A diamond is forever.
I'm a mother of three, and I'm just beginning a whole new career. I'm enjoying this part of my life every bit as much as when I was winning 18 Grand Slam tennis titles. And with delicious new CitraCal Creamy Bites, I even enjoy taking the calcium I need to help prevent osteoporosis. I'm Chris Evert. I'm 51, and I am strong.
Tell us about a strong woman you know at StandStrong.com. CitraCal Calcium. Stand strong.
Now, this wouldn't be the first time a politician has said that he or she was misquoted, but it might be one of the more serious instances. ABC's Chuck Sievertson has the story.
Congresswoman Ileana Ross-Leighton, the Florida Republican, says a video clip circulating on the Internet is a fake. This one.
I welcome the opportunity of
having anyone assassinate Fidel Castro and any leader who is oppressing the people.
Rose Lakenen tells the Miami Herald the makers of a new British documentary, 638 Ways to Kill Castro, spliced clips together to make the soundbite. She says no one advocates assassination, but adds, quote, if someone were to do it, I wouldn't be crying. No comment from the filmmakers. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
A hot dog stand in suburban Chicago is getting into the holiday spirit. It's selling franks that are made with reindeer meat. Actually, they have a little bit of beef and pork in them, too, because reindeer meat's a little on the dry side. I'm Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
This report of WGNU News is brought to you by Open from American Express. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, Missouri and Illinois officials are calling for investigations into the power outages that left more than 500,000 people in the dark in the wake of the recent ice storm. Ameren UE spokeswoman Erica Abbott says now that power has been almost fully restored, the company will focus its attention on helping those investigations.
We plan to provide a report to the Public Service Commission about our response to this storm, and we do welcome the questions because we believe we did respond very well to this storm.
The Illinois Commerce Commission has already announced plans to investigate Ameren's response to the outages. Missouri Governor Matt Blunt has asked the Public Service Commission to do the same. In Illinois, a report by a state agency could impact the board which oversees hospital and health care construction in the state. The bipartisan Illinois Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability is due to release its evaluation of the Illinois Health Facilities Planning Board in mid-February. Some fear the findings will result in eliminating the board entirely, leading to deregulation of hospital construction and having a negative effect on the state's neediest citizens. In response, 17 institutions statewide have formed the Campaign to Save Illinois Hospitals, hoping to spare the health board. And finally this hour, there's now a Saluki in space. Southern Illinois University at Carbondale graduate Joan Higginbotham lifted off over the weekend as part of the crew on the space shuttle Discovery. Higginbotham graduated from SIU Carbondale with a degree in electrical engineering. She's the first SIUC grad to go into space. Discovery spent Sunday checking for liftoff damage. The crew will dock with the International Space Station before starting a number of projects, including installing new electrical power sources. And that's WGNU News, brought to you by Open from American Express. Open, how American Express serves small business. To learn more, visit open.com or call 1-800-NOW-OPEN. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Northbound 270 onto the ramp to Tesson Ferry. There's an accident. Center lane is blocked, so use caution as you're around that area. There's ongoing construction on 170 in both directions between Del Mar and Page. Expect slow traffic, and traffic is slowing near Page as we speak. Natural Bridge at Brown, there's a report of a broken water main and delays could be possible. Goodfellow at Page, there's a report of traffic lights not working, so treat that as a four-way stop. The only other concerns you will have will be those rolling into downtown at this hour for the final push on the morning rush hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Play Pick 3 Green Ball Double Draw for Illinois Lottery through December 24th. One green ball, two chances to win. Illinois Lottery, have a ball, play responsibly. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Rain likely today with a high in the lower 50s. This evening, rain likely, even a chance of thunderstorms. The temps should be in the upper 40s for this evening. For Tuesday, cloudy, another chance of rain with a high in the mid-50s. And Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. Currently at studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have cloudy conditions, 45 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting clouds and 45. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby. So hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. And because it's this time of the season, I want to take this time before we move into our Monday at 9 guest and our Monday at 9 topic. I want to remind everybody that this is the Wake Up Call, the third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive. And we're asking that all of you join Irene J. Smith and myself from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Friday at the George Washington Carver House, 3035 Bell. And if you can't make it out or if you can't stop by, please feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on a Friday. And the address here is 265 Union, or come on down to George Washington Carver House. We will be taking the blankets. You don't even have to get out of your car. We have people running up to your cars and taking your blankets, and you can just buzz off to your busy day. But I want to take some time also to thank a new donor. We got a $500 donation from Phil Person Roofing. Mr. Person, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Liz, you know, sometimes we get busy, you know, business people, we get busy, and we're busy doing our business thing. We don't have time to go in those supermarkets and those Walmart and all them places, standing in them great long lines. And I'm the kind of shopper that when I go into a place and okay, I see what I want, I pick it up.
Well, let me make it clear for you, Mr. Person. You're a man, okay? You're a man, okay? So I understand that you don't want to go in the dressing room. You just want to go in and get it and get it done.
That's right.
So that's why you're doing it like this.
That's right. And so what I did was I just wanted to go ahead and bring you something over here, because I thought the drive was last Friday, and I said, oh, I missed it, and I always drop off something, you know. But
right,
this time, I just wanted to bring you the check and let you women do the shopping. And so that's why I brought you a check. And I want to make a challenge or a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it a suggestion to other business contractors,
mm-hmm,
advertisers on this station, ministers on this station that they need to step up to the plate and do something positive, because Chuck Norman is gone, and he threw this big Christmas party with all his money, and he made sure that it was a lot of people, money going to the poor people. But this money here, you know, thank God for Liz Brown, that she had enough courage and patience to join up with some other ladies in our community so that we know where this money is going. It's going in our community, and we'd like to see some other people stand up. You know, you got money, you make money, let's get up off of that, some of that money, and donate it and help somebody other than your own family. You know, it's easy to help your, we always going to help our family.
There you go.
But we need to reach out to some other people.
Thank
you, know.
You so much. And again, we're asking everybody to get the $5 blankets. We had hundreds and hundreds of them last year, and we'll be handing the blankets out on Saturday, the day after the blanket drive. Mr. Person, thank you so much for this. It's $500 donation.
If I need a blanket, where can I go?
Come on down. Come on down to the blanket. Thank you, Drive. We'll be all right.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you
Bye-bye.
So much, Mr. Person. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with our guest, the Director of Education and Policy for the Jewish Voice for Peace, joining us from San Francisco, Mitchell Plitnick, and we're going to be talking about Jimmy Carter's book and the response of the Jewish community. You need to stay with us. I'll be back. Thank you. This is Liz Brown, and the heat is on. The third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is this Friday. You can drop your blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. The heat is on. The blanket drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
In the beginning, there were but a few that gave birth to a new fad in music called rock and roll. They were referred to as the Legends of Rock. And now Goldie's Music has compiled the greatest hits of three of these legends: Jerry Lee Lewis, Little Richard, Chuck Berry.
Well, I'm gonna write a little letter. I'm gonna mail it to my local DJ. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Oh, this great, this is great. Balls of fire.
This 3-CD package is not available in stores, so call toll-free right now and order your very own copy of The Legends of Rock. Call 1-800-577-3995. That's 1-800-577-3995. 1-800-577-3995.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. For the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. My name is Liz Brown, and this morning on our Mondays at 9 section, we have Mitchell Plitnick, Director of Education and Policy for the Jewish Voice for Peace, joining us from San Francisco. Mitchell, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here at this early hour. I've been reading some of the comments that people have been making about the Jimmy Carter's book and about the Palestinian people. There are people that are saying that Jimmy Carter has gotten it wrong about to say the least, have gotten it wrong about the Palestinians and the Palestinian problem. How do you respond to that?
Well, I actually have to say most of the criticisms that I've seen about Carter's book have really missed the point. People have harped on some historical inaccuracies, but Carter wasn't writing a history book. He's not. It's not a scholarly work. He's writing his own recollections, reminiscences, times he spent with various world leaders. But his basic point is to say that we need in the United States some debate and discussion as to whether or not our policies regarding the Middle East and the Israel-Palestine conflict are the proper ones, are effective. I think we look at the situation and the way it has degraded over the past few years, it's pretty clear that American policies have failed and need revision. That's not going to happen until Americans are talking more about it, and I think that's why Carter wrote this book.
And how would you evaluate the understanding that Americans have about this issue?
Americans, unfortunately...
Are we stupid? Are we just really, really stupid about this?
Not stupid, but uninformed. Our media does a very poor job in general of covering this issue because what we do for the most part, and this includes the New York Times, CNN, and smaller publications, is we only notice when something major happens, when there is a big attack, a major outbreak of violence, and we don't really have, most of us don't really have the background to understand why these things are happening. So it's very difficult for us to make informed decisions and to say to our representatives, this is what we really think should be done.
And in terms of again, the average American in their understanding of what is going on with the Palestinians, most Americans do not have a realistic understanding on any level.
Well, people do not. What I think people don't understand is they see, you know, the biggest headlines that come out of Israel are terrorist attacks, and of course these things belong in the headlines. They belong there prominently, and they should be. People should be aware that they happen, and they should be condemned and fought against vigorously. But what people do not get in the headlines is the daily reality that. That is the Israeli occupation of the West Bank and Gaza, what Palestinians have to live under. This in no way, of course, justifies attacks on civilians, but it needs to be understood that there is enormous suffering on both sides, and the suffering on the Palestinian side is a bit different in quality because...
Well, Jimmy Carter calls it apartheid.
Well, Carter, it's funny, Carter calls it apartheid in the title of his book, and he said in a number of interviews that he did that intentionally to be provocative. In the book, he doesn't make much of a case for apartheid, and I would actually argue that within Israel, Arabs living in Israel do face discrimination, but calling it apartheid would be a vast overstatement. On the other hand, Palestinians living in the occupied territories live without any sort of civil or human rights, really any sort of rule of law. That's worse than apartheid. So... I think the phrase is not entirely accurate, but it was effective certainly for drawing attention and starting some discussion.
Well, let's start the discussion about life for Palestinians. How would you describe life for the average Palestinian living in the occupied territory?
Well, it's very difficult, especially in the Gaza Strip, but increasingly so in the West Bank. Travel is very difficult. The economy has largely collapsed. The day-to-day life is one that is constantly intruded upon by Israeli soldiers. When you need to get anywhere, you need to go through checkpoints. Often you cannot get through those checkpoints. There are frequent closures. There's also considerable violence. There's very rarely a day that goes by that someone in the Palestinian territories is not killed in some operation or another. Often that includes innocent bystanders. This, of course, creates a great deal of anger and rage. And I think the worst thing is that what's happened now is that there's a great deal of hopelessness about the future. So people are seeing that things are bad, they can't feed their families, and they're not seeing any prospects of things getting better. This is, of course, a direct outgrowth of the occupation, but not only the fault of Israel. There are problems as well with the Palestinian leadership, and I think actually what needs to get the place we need to go is get beyond the question of whose fault it is and recognize that there need to be reforms in the Palestinian government and an end to the Israeli occupation.
Well, let's talk about the Palestinian government and Hamas. Jimmy Carter makes an argument to let Hamas be there. They were duly elected. In fact, he was down there. He monitored the election.
And I think that's correct. If we go back in time to 1948 and the first Israeli elections, some of the people that were elected to the Knesset, the very first Knesset, were members of terrorist groups. People who were wanted by the British. In fact, Yitzhak Shamir, who was a prime minister some years ago in the 80s of Israel, was one of the most wanted terrorists by the British in the 40s.
Mm.
So these things have a way of changing. And I think what needs to happen...
What's different now, Mitchell? I mean, what is different now when we make that comparison about when the Israelis elected their first people and being a wanted terrorist? What's different now that we're seeing all of these punitive responses to the duly elected government of the Palestinians?
Well, I think what's most different is that this government was one that did not want to work with Israel and the United States. There's certainly some fault that can be laid at the feet of the Hamas government. They have refused to recognize Israel, and they've refused to honor agreements that were made by previous governments. And that's, you know, of course, that's something you can expect. For example, just if Bill Clinton made some agreement with another country, that country has a right to expect that George W. Bush would uphold that agreement. So there is some fault that can be laid there, but the fact is that Hamas was not who the United States and Israel wanted to see, and if they accepted that government, it runs afoul of the rhetoric on the war on terror, because they are, by definition, dealing with terrorists. Hamas is certainly a terrorist group. So they made the decision to essentially punish the Palestinian people for exercising their democratic rights.
But when we look at the reality of it, Hamas won, 74 seats. There are 132 parliamentary seats.
Mm-hmm.
The president, you need 88 votes to override the president's veto. Hamas only has 65 votes because 9 of their people are in jail because they've been snatched up. So what's the problem?
Well, the problem is that Israel and the United States do not want to appear to be dealing with Hamas in any way. And that is, again, that's back to the rhetoric about our own war on terror. And it also gave an excuse to not move this peace process forward in any way. So, because the fact is that if Israel wants peace, and most Israelis certainly do, there's going to have to be some sacrifices. And this government, both under Ariel Sharon and Ehud Olmert, is not prepared to make the kinds of sacrifices that will be necessary.
So if they're not willing to make the sacrifices, then the Palestinians are right.
That's one way of putting it, yeah. There's also things, again, that the Palestinians really do need to do. Hamas does need to agree to honor old agreements and move the process along from where it has been, even if they don't think those agreements were very good ones.
But if Hamas is not in charge of the government, they're not in charge, they can't, I mean, they don't control the government, they have seats in the government, why is that concession necessary?
Well, they still do have a majority in the Palestinian Legislative Council,
mm-hmm.
and that does make a difference. And most of the Palestinian people right now view Ismail Haniyeh, the prime minister, as very much the leader of their government. So it is important to have them on board. Plus, also, the fact is that if any sort of peace agreement comes about and Hamas opposes it, it's not going to last. That's why this was actually such a great opportunity for Israel to really advance the peace process, because these are the people you need to make peace with.
Anyway.
Israel's decided to simply isolate them.
Oh, we're going to take a break. I'm talking to Mitchell Plitnick. He is the Director of Education and Policy for the Jewish Voice for Peace, joining us from San Francisco. We'll be back to take some of your calls and comments. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. Hello, this is Liz Brown, and the heat is on. The third annual Wake Up Call Blanket Drive is this Friday. You can drop your blankets off starting at 6 a.m. this Friday at the station here at 265 Union, or come on down to 3035 Bell Carver House, because that's where we will be broadcasting live. It's on, folks. It's time to drop your blankets off. And if you can't make it on Friday, feel free to drop your blankets off here at the station at 265 Union. We're open 24 hours a day. The heat is on. The blanket drive is this Friday. I'll see you there.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I've found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds. Those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Christmas, everybody seems to feel the same. Love is in the air all around us. It's magical how we all feel this way. I think every day like
this is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Our discussion this morning is on the Israel-Palestine issue. My guest is Mitchell Plitnick, Director of Education and Policy for the Jewish Voice for Peace, joining us from San Francisco. And Mitchell, I'd like to get to some of our callers. Dimitri, do you have a comment or question for my guest?
Yes, I do, Liz. I didn't get his name.
Mitchell Plitnick.
Mr. Plitnick. If Israel feels justified in leveling Beirut and murdering men, women, and children and causing them to be relocated and lose their homes over two soldiers, Israeli soldiers who were captured, why then wasn't the Lebanese Hezbollah, why weren't they justified in fighting back in order to release 5,000 prisoners being Palestinian prisoners and Hezbollah prisoners being held by the Israelis without due process. I think it's a one-way, a tunnel vision that when Israel has a problem, that they willingly go in and destroy and create that kind of horror over two soldiers and then call Hezbollah terrorists because they were trying to get the release of 5,000 Arabs.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, I would ask your caller to go check out our website, jewishvoiceforpeace.org, because you'll see that we thoroughly condemned Israel's actions over this summer in Lebanon and in Gaza, and we're out in the streets protesting against it. So the premise that Israel is justified in what it did is one I certainly would not agree with. I think all of this is a result of the United States not working to push for peace, restraint, and calm in the Middle East. The absence of any sort of policy from the Bush administration is unprecedented and has led to everybody just going out and doing more or less whatever violence they see fit, as appropriate to their demands, both on the Israeli and the side of Hezbollah. So none of this is okay, and that's exactly the point, is that this has all got to stop. Because in the end, the people who suffer are not the Israeli leaders, not the leaders of Hezbollah, but innocent Lebanese, innocent Palestinians, and innocent Israelis.
So the Bush administration doesn't have a policy, but it certainly has a preference.
Well, it certainly leans towards Israel. I mean, by default, if they do nothing, then Israel has basically free reign, because Israel is the powerful party in these among themselves, the Lebanese and the Palestinians. So by essentially saying we're keeping our hands off, they're allowing Israel to do whatever they want. And as a friend of mine once said, a colleague, a peace activist named Uri Avneri in Israel, said nothing will change in Israel until the United States changes and makes a change in Israel. That's why I think it's so important that we work here to change our policies. Policies have been poor in the past with many administrations, but this one trumps them all.
What Israel is doing in terms of holding back, keeping the Palestinians' money, their own tax money, is that unprecedented?
Israel has never done that before. It is absolutely illegal. Israel, as the occupying power, does get tax revenues. They collect tax revenues that are supposed to go to the Palestinians. This totals about $60 million a month. And for the Palestinians, that's a significant percentage of their budget. And that money is simply being held for really no justifiable reason. And there is no rationale by which Israel is allowed to do this. Their claim that it shouldn't go to Hamas is nonsense. They don't have that option. They have a responsibility as the occupying power to deliver that revenue, and that is something that should be insisted upon immediately.
But who has the authority to do that? And then what crime is being committed with Israel holding their money?
I'm not sure what that last. Well, the authority to do it, as far as I don't know who. Well, there should be. We need this. Your question shows us the need for an international system of law, which we don't have. We have international law, but it has, of course, no real teeth, unless the United States wants to give it such teeth. So there may not be an authority, but certainly the United States has the power to make Israel release these funds. They essentially have the power to make Israel do whatever they want. The question is, will they exercise that in some positive way?
And in terms of Israel's position that, oh, if we give them this money, it's helping the Hamas, what of that argument?
It's essentially nonsense. The one thing that has continued to flow into Gaza is weapons. there are smuggling networks, various different ways that Hamas has built up over the years to acquire weapons. That's still flowing into Gaza. What's not coming into Gaza is health services, is food, is water, is electricity, the things that the people need to live. So the idea that withholding this revenue in some way limits Hamas's military capability is nonsense, or any other group for that matter.
And in terms of is it a crime? If people die as a result of Israel holding on money that is not theirs, if people suffer as a result of that, if homes burn down, if buildings collapse, is that legally the responsibility? I mean, can that be brought back on Israel?
I think it can. That it's important that we know that those things are happening and that we understand that Israel, as the occupying power, is responsible to stop it. At the same time, I also think that that's not the most important thing is not to say that Israel is at fault or Israel is bad. The most important thing is to change the situation on the ground. And I think if we get too wrapped up in blaming, and there's plenty of blame to go around, certainly Israel has a very large share of it. But if we get too wrapped up in that, then we don't actually make progress towards resolving the situation, which is really the most important thing.
Well, my concern about that kind of process is, aren't there some ultimate rights and wrongs, and do we lose the definition of what is right and wrong without assessing the real reality of what's going on? It is wrong to keep the money. It is not your money. And do we lose that understanding of right and wrong if we don't say that?
Well, I think it's important to say that it's wrong to keep the money in order to get the money released.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to say that that the occupation is wrong in order to get it to end. I think it's kind of an eye on the prize thing. I'm not by any means suggesting that we ignore what's right and wrong or what's legal and illegal. That's, in fact, fundamental to making any progress. I agree with you. But that we need to keep in mind that the end goal is not to say who's right and wrong, but to get these things changed.
1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9. I'm talking to Mitchell Plitnick. He is the Director of Education and Policy for the Jewish Voice for Peace. He's joining us from San Francisco. Will, do you have a question for our guest, Mitchell Plitnick?
Yes, I do. Hello, Liz. Hello, Mr. I don't believe I can pronounce your name properly, but I do know that you are a brother of mine as well. My question is this, and you stated that there's the blame game. Let's not play the blame game, and I agree wholeheartedly with you. But let's find a solution to this situation. Being as though everyone in that area is a direct descendant of Abraham, shouldn't it end the laws of Abraham do apply to everyone? Wouldn't the common factor be to follow the rules and the guidelines that have been set forth and to live together as brothers as such a state rather than trying to find a political such a solution? And so that because I do believe once politics and money get involved in everything, then the human side of everybody will start changing. But the fix of the matter, what would you say that the fix to fix this problem permanently? How to fix this problem permanently in the Middle East so that two people who are basically the same people can cohabitate together on the same land and live as brothers? And what do you say, what do you see will come about, the actions that would take to bring this thing about?
Got it. Thank you, Will.
All right, thanks.
Wow. Big question. Very big question. First of all, I think we need to keep in mind, although, yes, Jews, Muslims, Christians all descend from the same sort of biblical roots, the cultures that we're dealing with are very different. Israel, although the European descended Jews of Israel are not the majority, they are the most powerful and have done the most to shape Israeli culture. So it's a different sort of culture than the ones surrounding it in many ways, although there are similarities to Lebanon as well. I think that there are also no easy answers, and I think one of the mistakes that has been made is to think that there's some peace plan or document or agreement that can be dreamt up that will fix all the problems. That's not going to happen. And I think that it's very hard to envision total solutions right now while the occupation goes on. The occupation has to end. The United States has it within its power to make that occupation end, to say the settlements have to go, all of them, including those in East Jerusalem, and from there to deal with negotiations to settle final borders, to settle the status of East Jerusalem, and to settle the question of Palestinian refugees. I think when the occupation ends, those issues that seem intractable now can be dealt with. But they can't be dealt with now with the occupation going on, with the violence and the anger and hatred that it generates.
1-877-920-WGNU. Safari?
Hey, how you doing, Ms. Brown and your guest?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah,
my question here is it's very complicated, but I need to ask a question and then make a statement. My question is the Arabs and the Palestinians regarded as Semitic also? And if that is the case, so contradicting that is between Semitic and Semitics. So how do we say something then? I'm sorry, I'm nervous.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, okay. My thing is that those people, it seemed like they were set up in order to exterminate each other because they're the same people, and the way things are working now, it's like they're working against them because somebody decided that if these people can stay together and be brothers and brothers in love, they'll be the very most powerful people in earth because they'll own oil, and all the minerals and all the religions.
So you're saying that you believe that this is intentional. This is artificial and intentional.
Yeah.
This conflict.
Most of those people who are dying today, if you count to from Iraq all the way to Israel, it's all Semitic people, and they're dying at a more rate than when Hitler was doing it.
All right. Thanks for your call.
All right.
And I'm going to let Mitchell think on that because we have to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. My guest is Mitchell Plitnick. He is the Director of Education and Policy for the Jewish Voice for Peace. Joining us from San Francisco, my name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
What America needs is affordable health insurance.
Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds. Those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
It's time for this hour's WGNU Global News Update, brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston. Dateline Washington, D.C., six-party talks geared at ending North Korea's nuclear program are expected to resume next weekend. The Assistant Secretary of State, Christopher Hill, will head the U.S. delegation. The first round of meetings will most likely last a few days and then break for the holidays. State Department spokeswoman Joanne Moore says at the talks, quote, "We expect that the parties will discuss ways to implement the September 2005 joint statement," end quote. She was referring to an agreement where North Korea agreed to, quote, "abandon all nuclear weapons and nuclear programs," end quote. The original talk stalled for more than a year, but North Korean leaders agreed to return to the table last month after the international condemnation over North Korea's October nuclear tests. And that's this hour's WGNU Global News Update. It's been brought to you by Reasonable Construction. I'm Peyton Colston.
Stop putting it off. Reasonable Construction has reasonable pricing to get the work done now. Reasonable Construction can perform all your rehab, repair, and remodeling projects for commercial and residential. 314-382-2200. Reasonable Construction has in-house payments and home improvement loans. They accept all major credit cards. Call today for your free estimate. 314-382-2200. For more information, go to their website, www.reasonableconstruction.com.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson. Join me right after the 10 o'clock news here on AM 920, WGNU.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it. Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. My guest this hour is Mitchell Plitnick. He is the Director of Education and Policy for the Jewish Voice for Peace, joining us from San Francisco. We're talking about Jimmy Carter's book. We're talking about the response to it. We're talking about the Middle East and the conflict there. Mitchell, the last caller kind of raised the question of or made the observation that I guess it was kind of related to the caller before that in terms of why don't people just get along, and this is kind of, perhaps this is manufactured and stirred up by others so that they don't get along.
Well, I'm not too big a believer in that, but I do think there was a time years ago in the early days of the Zionist movement that movement had a lot of support in Europe precisely because Europeans saw advantage in sending the Jews to the Middle East. Among other reasons. But I think today most of the world agrees that it's in everyone's interest to resolve this conflict, and the only exception to that is really the United States. And unfortunately, that's also the country that is the only one that has any significant influence over events there. So the important thing, again, is to convince our own leaders that American policy needs to change, because when American policy changes, so will Israeli policy. It is inevitable.
Let me get to another caller or two. Will, do you have a question for Mitchell Plitnick?
Yes, and it kind of piggybacks on two prior callers, because what I'm seeing is just how religion continues to intertwine into so many of the political and social problems, particularly within the Middle East. Because one caller mentioned them being the descendants of Abraham, and I think we're actually taking a literal interpretation, a historical interpretation of the Bible, and trying to apply it here on our current political scene. I mean, it's almost as if we don't even question the historical accuracy of the Bible. And I think that's a dangerous thing, for one thing, because, first of all, we don't know if Abraham even existed. I mean, these are issues that I think people have to look into before they give too many credibility, because there was no Israel before, I believe it was 1947, when they decided, based on biblical historicity, that they should put these people in the Middle East. And I think all of this has been done so, surreptitiously, that I just don't think they should have done that. And first of all...
Okay, wait a minute, we only have a few minutes left here, so is there a question?
I want him to also comment on the, because from my understanding, that the people that are claiming to be Jews now may not even be the actual ones that were the Hebrews spoken in the Bible. So all of this, basing things on biblical interpretation, I think is dangerous. And I think it's long overdue that we begin to just become a little bit more objective about this situation.
Thanks for your call.
Well, I tend to agree in principle with the caller. I think that these are, in this day and age, these are political questions. Mm-hmm. And the more that religion is involved in it, the more complicated it becomes, because religious conviction is not something that can be argued with or debated, or really even, in many cases, compromised. So I do think it's important that this be a political issue, and that we kind of leave it there, and that we certainly do not look at the Bible as a historical text, which it is not. On the other hand, I think it's also important to point out Israel, whether, as your caller says that Israel shouldn't have been created in 1947 or 48, wherever you want to put the date, that is his opinion, and that's the opinion of many people. Many other people disagree, but at this point, it's done. Israel exists, and the question is, how do we move forward from here? We cannot erase what happened 60 years ago. We need to move forward from where we are now.
And the challenge is, and at least in the day that we're both living today, is this country, this administration has almost a loathing of diplomacy.
That is exactly so. This administration does not want to deal with diplomacy. It's a hard road.
It's the real hard. It's the real hard road.
Yeah, and that's real work. And other administrations have been more willing to do that. Nonetheless, I think even previous administrations have been, in their diplomacy, unduly biased towards Israel. And that's not going to work either. There needs to be American involvement that's really fair, really impartial, and that's not going to happen until Americans demand it.
Well, then, do we wait to the next election? Do we have to wait to 2008?
Absolutely not. We've been, at Jewish Voice for Peace, we've been working on this for years. And whatever administration is in there, we need to build that movement among Americans to demand a more fair and even-handed policy, whatever administration is in office at the time. That's also going to take some time. It's going to take some work, and we need to, you know, hopefully people can come to our website, JewishVoiceForPeace.org, and join us in helping to build that movement.
But Mitchell, the political reality of people in America, particularly elected officials at the United States Senate and United States Congress level, is that the Jewish lobby is a very powerful thing. It strikes fear into the heart of those out there that are elected gathering money, that people are running on their adherence to allegiance towards the wants and desires of Israel. We even have the new the woman that's running for president, I believe, in France, a socialist, is also making it clear where she stands with respect to Israel. How do you get past that?
Well, the reason this lobby, and it's not a Jewish lobby, it's an Israel lobby, much of its strength is drawn from right-wing Christians, as well as from the arms industry. On the other hand, there's very powerful forces that have real interest in Middle East peace, high-tech industry, the oil industry. These are, and what they need is a popular movement that's citizen-based to help consolidate the counterweight that does not exist right now to the Israel lobby. That's where our work needs to be focused. It can happen, but it hasn't happened because no one's actually stopped to put it together. That's what we're working on.
And the impact of Jimmy Carter's book?
I think Jimmy Carter's book has done us all a great service. It is starting to open up discussion. It is starting to make more people question whether the United States has a sound policy in Israel and the Middle East more broadly. And that's very, very important. And the quibbling and the attacks that Carter is facing only shows how weak the case is for the kind of policy that the United States currently pursues, because the people who are attacking him are absolutely panicked that such a debate might come about.
Mm. And what's going on in terms of Lebanon? How much impact is that going to have?
Well, it remains to be seen exactly what's going to happen there.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is an important lesson for us, because here was the Señora government is a pro-Western government. It was one that was trying at the time that Israel attacked it, was trying to actually rein in Hezbollah and bring it into the government and bring it under governmental control, and now that's all been reversed. That government is looking like it's going to topple because people are saying, well, what's the use of being pro-Western if the United States is going to turn on us whenever our interests conflict with Israel's? So this
and also, who's looking out for our interests? They stepped aside. Their response was to say, Hamas, throw down your weapons, and we're being bombed into oblivion.
What we had, what we had this summer was actually a golden opportunity, because when the initial attack from Hezbollah happened, several Arab states condemned it. The first time an attack on Israel of any kind was ever condemned by Arab states. Here was an opening, again, for real diplomacy that could have made a major breakthrough, and instead it's all been turned around, and Hezbollah is far more powerful than it was before this summer, as is in many ways Hamas, at least in the larger Arab world. So what was in the end gained? From any point of view, this was incredibly stupid and short-sighted. A new policy is clearly needed, but it's not going to happen until we American citizens make it happen.
And your website again, please.
It is www.jewishvoiceforpeace, all one word, jewishvoiceforpeace.org.
Mitchell Plitnick, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. Don't forget about the blanket drive. Tomorrow we had a $500 donation, a throwdown, a business throwdown from Person Roofing. So Philip Person has thrown down the gauntlet. It's up to y'all to step up to it. Don't forget, the blanket drive is on Friday at Carver House. And also, we'll have pickup here at the station. We will be broadcasting live. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. The high school band from Visual Arts will be joining us at 8:30 to sing us some holiday songs, some Christmas carols. Be there. Get your blankets. $5 blankets are out there. I'm looking forward to seeing you on Friday. Until tomorrow, thanks for listening and stay strong.
So hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa honey, one little thing I really need, the deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby. So hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with a duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some